Thanks, Veronica. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's Thursday, and we're thrilled you're here. We're 312-981-7200.
Go up and down the dial and choose which radio show you would like to listen to. Hopefully, it's ours.
Vote your conscience, Wendy.
Listen
to your conscience. Let's play a game called Where Is It Hotter? Ready? Here's a game called Where Is It Hotter? Is it hotter in Chicago, Illinois, or under Ted Cruz's collar? Where do you think it's hotter right now?
Ted Cruz's collar.
I think so, too. By about 150 degrees.
Are you shocked? Because I am a little shocked. I thought he was going to kowtow. Is that the proper terminology?
Yeah.
But he just... did Trump know he was going to... Why was he asked?
Trump says that he saw the speech 2 hours before. He tweeted this last night. He saw the speech 2 hours before, and then he said, and it's no big deal. But it is a big deal. It might be a good deal, it might be a bad deal, but it is a big deal.
You say Hillary lies, that's a big fat lie.
There's no way in the world. Now, all the analysts last night over on CBS were talking about how he went off book, that he submitted a speech, gave that speech for the most part, but then kind of wandered off just a bit or a lot.
I thought it was great.
Or a lot. I don't like Ted Cruz. I think Ted Cruz is scarier than Donald Trump is.
Yes.
But I do respect what he did last night. I really do. I know there's a lot of people furious with him, but I've said all along, if you have any conviction at all and you don't like that guy and he doesn't seem to like Donald Trump for a bunch of reasons, and I'll play you some audio of some things he said this morning, then why play nice?
And he didn't say don't vote for Donald Trump.
He said vote your conscience. Those were his words.
Right. So if your conscience tells you to vote for Trump, he was talking to you.
Right.
Look up and down the names.
That's
and
it.
He didn't say don't do it.
Right. But then, like, there's that moment where the crowd is trying. They're like doing a chant at him to endorse Donald Trump. And you know what it reminded me of? Remember a couple of days ago, this boy did this workout time-wise. A couple of days ago, I told you how Kylie and I went to the Cubs game, and there was a moment where a guy on the Mets hits a home run, and all these people are chanting, throw it back, throw it back, throw it back. And you could see in the guy's eyes, it's like, oh, I finally caught a ball. I've been coming to baseball games for 40 years. I got a ball. And then he goes, you know what? All right. And he threw it back, and everybody cheered for him. And I said, I wouldn't do that. I would go, I don't care about peer pressure. I'm doing what I want. I finally caught a baseball. That was Ted Cruz last night. It's everybody's chanting, endorse him. No, I'm not going to endorse him. Vote your conscience. Which, by the way, you know how everybody got on Melania Trump for stealing from Michelle Obama? I think Ted Cruz stole that vote your conscience thing. Listen to this.
I know where you're going, and I wholeheartedly agree. And I'm glad I didn't say it.
No. The other one, Kevin. The other one.
The stealing material.
Where did... vote your conscience.
And always let your conscience be your guide.
He's stealing from Jiminy Cricket.
Well, that's okay. Didn't somebody steal from Hello Kitty?
Somebody did steal
from
Hello
Kitty. Was that Melania? I think somebody...
Yeah, somebody did.
Defending her?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Right. I agree with you, Bill. And it is like catching the baseball, first of all. It really is.
Seriously, as goofy a guy as Ted Cruz is,
and he's goofy.
He is a boatload of goofy. He really is. He's a crazy amount of goofy. But I do respect the fact that he didn't give in. Now, here's what scares me. He said since last night that he hasn't endorsed him yet. So that means at some point somebody from the Republican Party or a group of them are going to sit down with him and go, do you want a future in politics? Do you want to ever run for president? Then you need to get on board.
I don't think he's got a real great chance anyway. So I say go down with a fight.
Do you think that because of last night or along with what happened last night?
I think this tips it in, but the creep factor is just too high for this guy. And Mike Pence is a big bowl of yawn. It's borrowed from Jeff Garland.
They should have put that in the crawl underneath. Mike Pence.
Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. I mean, I expected something amazing from him because this is the vice presidential candidate. This is the guy.
As good as he did in terms of rallying the troops last night, and he did.
He did.
I mean, he said all the right things for the most part. There's still no substance to these speeches. The substance on all these speeches is still that woman's bad, this guy's good. do what's good for America. Let's make America great again. There's never any specifics. It's just that woman very bad, this man very good. It's like a caveman speech. And to be honest with you, you're going to get exactly that next week. And you're going to get more of that. It's going to be the exact opposite.
Maybe they'll have the Geico guy come and give a speech.
Maybe. That's possible.
He's good. She bad.
Here's an interesting theory. Can we take call one?
I might have touched on this, but Dave, explain.
Oh, you touched on it totally, and you know where it's coming from. First off, I come from the business of film production, commercials, reality shows, etc.
Yeah.
Let's look at it in the fact we're talking reality show. We're talking politics. In a reality show, you're surrounded by family. In this particular job in the politics of reality show, you're surrounded by Trump's family. In the reality show, you don't care whether or not the person you're going to have speak is going to support you. In fact, you don't want him to. You want him to speak his piece, and you want him to get the, oh, excuse me, halfway through here, we're going to make the entryway so the cameras are going to be on us and the crowd's going to cheer because I'm walking in regardless of the fact that Cruz is speaking. It's planned by Trump. The Cruz speech was planned by Trump. He wants the delegates to realize they're choosing the best man possible, and that's Trump, and he's showing them because they're booing their tuchuses off at Cruz because Trump's right there walking in on it, and they're all cheering Trump because now they see the difference between the two characters. It's a reality show gone political. It's a political reality show that we all need to step back and go, what in God's name have we done?
Totally on board with that theory.
It does make some sense.
And look at all the people that it just makes him stand out even more. Like, despite the problems I'm having within the party, you still want me.
But why would Cruz play that game if last night I've heard
Cruz is blind. Cruz is blind. He's political. He's politics. He's got horse blinders on with a one directional head going forward, and he's now looking to the sides of what's really being brought to him, and he's playing the game of Trump. That's all.
I would say that Cruz kind of stood up for himself in that speech, but then think back, why was he invited?
I can't figure that out.
That's why this
Trump
makes sense.
Wanted him there.
Yep, it makes Trump complete
wanted
sense.
Him there.
Why wouldn't Trump say, Cruz say, you know, I'm thanks for the invitation, but I can't make it.
I got stuff that night.
I'm washing my hair.
Right. Right.
He's political and he's thinking 2020.
I like it. I'm
There's
with
something
you, Dave.
To it. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks
Appreciate
for calling.
It. We have to take a break. I want to play for you some audio in just a little bit of Cruz from earlier this morning, kind of going over what happened last night and why. This is fairly fresh audio. I don't know if you've heard this yet. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot chow down on their favorite meals on wheels. It's Chicago's Best Food Trucks, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
You know our favorite food truck.
Yes, I do. Happy Lobster. That's
We're like two little kids making so Kevin check the Happy Lobster truck to see if it's out in Pioneer Court.
Really good lobster rolls. Really good.
All right. We have no money left anymore.
No, we're broke, but well-nourished. We're talking about last night's convention. It was something of a carnival.
It's a circus sideshow.
Yeah.
Not even a sideshow. Main event.
We're trying to determine what everyone's trying to determine. A, why was Ted Cruz invited? B, who saw the speech in advance? C, is it all some sort of a master plot, as callers have suggested? D, did Ted Cruz commit career suicide last night? I heard several people allude to that. All he's done, I wonder. Both you and I, although we're not particular fans of Ted Cruz's, we understand what he did there. It didn't go over very well.
But did it? I mean, it just brought the people who love Trump closer together, in my opinion.
It seemed to.
I don't know
it
what's
seem
happening.
To.
Nothing is off limits, that's for sure. Dave, what do you want to jump in with?
I just want to start off by saying thank you. That was my biggest thing. It's just so nice to hear a couple people covering this thing in a real normal way. These guys are wax. It's just so crazy. Like, I fell into an alternative universe and woke up this morning and, you know, I'm somewhere else. You know, like, you know, I'm thinking Ted Cruz is he's my hero for at least 5 minutes this morning.
And exactly.
Like, I would have never thought that. And I guess the other thing I wonder sometimes when I listen to you guys, your texts and email just must be crazy. I mean, you must have some of the weirdest comments from people who don't agree with you, who just must think you're just like off the wall nut jobs when I just think you're like two of the sanest people I listen to on any show anywhere, all right? I just have to tell you that.
That's very nice.
Well, you need some help if that's what you think.
You need to see a physician immediately because you're wrong.
We appreciate that.
But thank you. That's very nice. And the texts do run the gamut. And I have to say, I'm going to say the same thing during the Democratic convention. I'm so uneased when I'm watching these conventions. And I was trying to determine what it was last night. And I think part of it is I'm not one of these people that just chant stuff. Like when I hear other people chanting something, I don't go, I have to be part of the throng and chant. And sometimes they're chanting USA, which is a country that I love. I
but
love
you
everything
don't like
about
to be a sheep. I know that.
And that's all you get is it's a lemmings fest from start to finish on both sides, on the Republican side and the Democratic side. It really is.
And Dave, somebody texted something yesterday like, you know, why aren't you guys fired for giving your side of the story? Don't you have to be fair and impartial? But we're not journalists. We're talk show hosts. So we can say what we want.
And there's way better reasons to fire us than this.
Good point.
Really? And I appreciate you. I mean, I know you say that all the time, but I think you're just a voice in from healthy. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate that, and thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Can't
That's
we give
nice.
Dave something? Like maybe a Lou Malnati's pizza for being the best caller of today.
Oh, my goodness.
How about
I'm
that?
Overwhelmed now.
All right, well, hang on a second. I just, you know, you got to reward people for saying something nice about you. Lou Malnati's gift certificate, home of the best Chicago's best deep dish in Chicago. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. That's how it goes.
I do have some audio of Ted Cruz from earlier this morning that I want to share, but I'm very anxious. I mentioned a little while ago that one of the frustrating things about the speech is even Mike Pence's speech, who I'm going to say, without a doubt, he did exactly what he needed to do. America, most of America, didn't know much about Mike Pence.
They know he's not very funny.
Well,
he tried, but tough.
Yeah,
tough crowd.
He got a couple of laughs when he used the word huge. It got a big laugh.
And saying, you know, that Donald Trump is so charismatic. What is he? He's there to balance it out. But you got to change your. It was so monotone.
They're right. Well, yeah. I mean, we're not hiring him to obviously to be funny. He did what he needed to do last night. His job was to let America know a little bit about him, and we got to know him, and that was all well and good. But the frustrating thing with his speech and Eric Trump's speech, and I saw Newt Gingrich's speech, is that there's never any specifics. It's just how much better it's going to be. They just keep dangling that carrot. This country is just gone to hell in a handbasket, and as soon as he's in the office, things are going to be so much better. You won't even recognize the I just want specifics.
No substance.
Tell me how that's going to happen.
We want to turn into that little kid who always goes, why?
Right.
Because the sky is blue. Why?
Right.
I want those answers. Can we talk to Carol real quick?
Yeah.
And we can play that audio. We're here until 3.
All right.
So, hey, Carol.
Hey, Bill and Wendy. First of all, thank you for making me laugh every day while I work.
You're
I appreciate
very welcome.
It. And I'm not even looking for a prize.
Oh, all right.
I don't normally call in about political topics, but I do have a technical explanation, I think, of why neither party is going to present specifics at this point in the campaign.
Why?
And it's all about the debate.
Yeah.
If you give up the how-to, at this point, it gives your opponent more time to prepare arguments against it. So that's my theory. I'm not a professional.
Sure.
I could be wrong, but I really think that that's a big part of it.
I'm sure there's something to that. I'm positive
on
it.
But it's just like a big pep rally, and that's what I'm bothered by. You know?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of commentators say that, yes, it is a pep rally. Yes, they do talk about the opponent incessantly, and that's how it's always been and probably how it always will be. Do we like it? No, but that's still, it's just like something we have to live with, I think.
Carol, last night one of the speakers talked about how well Donald Trump did against the 16 opponents in the debates, and then they said, and you're going to see more of that from him, you know, meaning when he debates against Hillary Clinton. I watched the debates. I saw every debate but one. He didn't do well in the debates.
He just bullied people.
That's pretty much all you got from everybody, not
totally
just Donald
agree.
Trump.
Totally agree.
I want a debate where somebody says point blank, here's an issue. You tell me your version. You tell me your version. We didn't get any of that during the Republican debates.
Yeah, well, you're just the voter. You don't get what you want.
I guess not.
Thank you so much, Carol.
Thanks,
appreciate you calling. We're out of pizzas. I'm sorry.
give her Dave's address. She can go over there and have
split
some
it with
of the
him.
Pizza. Yeah, absolutely. All right. We'll take a break. I will play that audio of Ted Cruz. Yeah, let's do it after the news. I have audio of Ted Cruz kind of explaining his stance from last night and his reasons for doing what he did. It's interesting audio. Stick around. A lot more coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Veronica, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. We are at 312-981-7200. I know we have a bunch of texts. Before the break there, before the news, we were talking about last night's convention. And surprise, 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 Ted Cruz went up. As expected, he was a scheduled speaker. And he went up to some pretty thunderous applause, I have to say. I think a lot of the Republicans were happy to see him there. But things changed, and he would not give his endorsement to Donald Trump. He said the words, vote your conscience, which is a little vague.
Go up and down the list.
Yeah.
Look at all the candidates. Vote your conscience.
Vote your conscience.
And he didn't back down at all. When they were booing him, he just kind of stood up there and waited for them to calm down and said something about, oh, you New York, the New York delegation, very enthusiastic. Right. I like your enthusiasm.
Right.
He did a great job.
There was...
Best time of his career so far. Isn't that sad?
Maybe. There was some talk last night as to whether people were yelling boo or people were yelling Cruz.
Oh.
I think they were yelling boo. I think maybe some people slipped in Cruz, maybe. All right, so this morning they asked him, hey, Ted, interesting night last night. Very strange night last night. What? What? They said with many exclamation points and question marks. What? Like that to Ted. And here's how he explained it. Now, he's a warning for you younger or more sensitive viewers.
Me.
You. He will again get a little fiery in his convictions, and that's fine. So here's Ted Cruz kind of explaining what exactly went on last night.
When I stood on that debate stage, and they asked every candidate there, if you don't win, will you support the nominee? I raised my hand, and I raised my hand enthusiastically, with full intention of doing exactly that. And I'll tell you the day that pledge was abrogated. The day that was abrogated was the day this became personal. And as I said at the time, and I'm not going to get into criticizing or attacking Donald Trump, but I'll just give you this response. I am not in the habit of supporting people who attack my wife and attack my father. And that pledge was not a blanket commitment that if you go and slander and attack Heidi, that I'm going to nonetheless come like a servile puppy dog and say thank you very much for maligning my wife and maligning my father.
It's pronounced Melania, by the way.
Close enough. And I will note... I will note, sir, you're making crying signs in the back. I will note, sir, that you might have a similar view if someone were attacking your wife. In fact, I hope you would. I hope you would.
This is politics.
No, this is not politics. I will tell the truth. I will not malign, I will not insult, I will not attack, I will tell the truth. This is not a game, it is not politics. Right and wrong matters. We have not abandoned who we are in this country. No, sir, I do not believe that is correct.
All right, so that's Ted Cruz explaining what his reasoning was for last night.
I like it.
I do too. Now, here's a question. I thought about this last night. I thought about it again this morning when I heard this. Do you think that the core of this, that Ted Cruz's absolute motivation for last night was exactly what he just said? The fact that Donald Trump took a couple shots at Heidi and at Mr. Cruz, is that really what set him off? Or do you think there's more to it than that?
I think that's a portion of it. But I think in no way was he's almost a sore loser. Like he lost. I'm not going to support Trump. And then, by the way, you were rude to my wife and my father.
Yeah.
I think that was secondary. I don't think that was his main thing.
You just said sore loser. Do you look at him? Do you think you look at him and most people now are looking at him in that respect, that this is just a guy who's up there being a sore loser? Or like I said earlier, I don't like Ted Cruz. He really is the stuff that Stephen King novels are made of. He is. But I so respect what happened last night. I so respect him saying, hey, do what you want to do, but take a look at the names on that list and vote with your conscience. Don't just vote because it says Republican. Don't just vote because it says Democrat. Take a look at those names and let your conscience decide. I respect that.
I respect it, but I still think it comes on the heels of he lost. He doesn't want to see this guy take it away.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to another thing Ted Cruz just said, which is there's a pledge that both parties have. It's not a Republican-only thing. Both parties say, hey, when and if you're not the winner of all this, you still have to be on the team. You get that, right? I think they should do away with that.
I think they should do away with the parties. I've said that several times. I know it can't happen. I still don't really understand why it can't happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think they should have to stick with their party.
No. If one of the candidates had said right then and there, and we're going back a couple months now when they all made this pledge, yeah, we'll support whoever is the winner in this round, whoever wins, you get our support. I'm trying to think of who exactly, I mean, I guess that's good for the party more than anything, right?
Yeah, but look at it this way. If they didn't have to stick to the party and yet came forward and endorsed that candidate, wouldn't it mean more?
It would mean more. But does anyone truly have the option of saying point blank no at that point? Does any, like when they offer that up, and again, this is 2 months removed, but if they had said that a couple months ago, hey, one of you guys is going to win, but the other 16 are not, what if one of them would have said just then and there, no, if it's not me? I know that sounds selfish, but if they're so different on so many different things, yeah, they all have Republican in front of their name, but for many of them, that's about it. That's all they have in common is the fact that they're on the Republican side. That's it.
You should ask Senator Mark Kirk that question. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because I know he's not going a way against presidential candidate, but right. He still said, you know, I love my party, I love America, but I can't in right mind stick to what's going on.
Right.
I don't know. That is the excitement of a person who's not, I'm not going to say his name, but it's so exciting to have a person who's not in politics run for president. It's just, to me, in my personal opinion, it's the wrong person.
Yeah.
Because I get it. I'd like to do away with the whole political. I hate politics, Bill. Until this year, I never even wanted to talk about politics on this show, but you have to.
Yeah, I know. It's too in your face. Yeah, it's everywhere, and it's too important to ignore. I watched much of the convention last night. I had to take a night off on night two. I watched one and three, and I'm probably going to watch tonight. But I get this sick feeling in my stomach because they're just so angry, and there's so much chanting, and it's going to happen on the other side too. I'm not pinning this only on Republicans. You're going to get plenty of this when the Democrats meet too. And I don't like the fact that their chant is they have the same chant. It's USA, USA, USA. And I live here. I love this country. But just because some mope next to me is chanting something, I'm not going to chant it too.
Well, you're not a lemming.
I'm not. I like to think I'm not.
But if you know, there are people who work on this campaign that really believe in their candidate, and then you would chant. You chant for the Blackhawks.
But
you yell during the anthem because you love them and you support them. If it was something you were into.
But this doesn't truly represent the USA, not my hopes for the USA. All the hatred that goes on both sides, not just on the Republican side, that to me is not what this country is. It's an abomination of what this country is.
And until this year, there are members of my family, extended family, in-laws that think differently than I do.
Yeah.
And we've been able to discuss things in the past, and now vitriol comes out.
Right, sure.
It was honestly never like that before. It was like you go, my candidate this, and you'd have a discussion. And now it's like, nope, you're absolutely wrong. They're going to ruin this country. It's like all or nothing. It's not.
I can't tell you when I was a kid how many nights my parents would have friends over. There'd be a group of people, some on the Republican side, some on the Democratic side, some somewhere in the middle, some just disenchanted with all of it. And they would sit at dinner or after dinner and talk about it.
And
nobody was angry.
Talk.
I know.
What, not yell.
I know.
It's really changed. The whole atmosphere has changed.
I know. Does it ever go back? Will we ever revert back to what it once was? That's as weird as this cycle has been on both sides. I keep saying to myself, is this now the new normal? Is this what all presidential and maybe otherwise other elections will be? Because the rule book has been rewritten so dramatically, is this what we can expect now every 4 years? Is it going to be this insane every 4 years?
I don't believe so, because I think each party now will have ways of vetting their candidates before they approve, because I don't think anyone, including Donald Trump, believed he'd be at this point.
Yeah, it would be surprising if you know how they always say, like with the NCAA tournament, they go, nobody's ever picked it all the way through. Nobody ever has. I can't imagine anybody a year ago imagining it end up the way it's ended up so far. I can't. It's like science fiction. You couldn't have. You could have the strongest crystal ball in the world. You couldn't have predicted this Mm-mm. all a year ago.
Nope. Philip, we have to break, but we'd like to hear your point beforehand because this seems interesting.
Yes, I think you should have continued with what Ted Cruz said in his speech last night. In addition to going up and down the ballot and voting with your conscience, he said, vote for the person who you feel best supports the Constitution.
Right.
And you look, Hillary's been open about going after the Second Amendment if she's elected president, and that's chasing the Constitution, whereas Trump's gone on record as supporting the Constitution.
But doesn't the Constitution also say that women have a right to an abortion, and aren't people wanting to change things for that? I mean, to me, it's very hypocritical.
I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that Trump has said that, but he's looking to overturn.
Trump said people who get abortion should be punished.
Yeah, that about explains that he's against it.
Well, you know what? You guys ought to spend more. You know why people are angry? And I listened to you, Bill, about the people being angry in both sides of the aisle. But the ones that are angry right now that you saw last night, they're angry because they've been lied to, and Hillary's done nothing but lie.
And Donald Trump has been 100% honest with everything?
But he hasn't lied to the American
because he
people.
Hasn't told us what he's going to do yet.
Listen in tonight. But we know what Hillary's going to do. She's going to lie to us.
Who doesn't lie? I am so sick of people saying Hillary's a liar. Who isn't a liar?
Yeah, you can't. A woman. Any person with that position is bound by law to tell the truth to the American people. You're not talking about the average next-door neighbor here. Absolutely not. You can't minimize her lies to be equate to some schoolgirl lying about where she was for the last hour.
But Phil, can I just use two quick examples? Trump's whole story about Trump University is one lie on top of another. We played audio of him about a week and a half ago explaining over and over again what the unemployment rate is in America, even though it seems to be 9%. In his view, it's somewhere in the 40s, 40-something percent. So this, I mean, seriously, I'll give you the Hillary Clinton.
You know what? Somebody needs to call him out and show us your statistics. How did you arrive at 40%? How did you come to that
conclusion? He was called out, wasn't he?
Yeah, several people asked him where he's getting the numbers. He doesn't. Okay. He never quotes sources. He just throws out "quote unquote" facts.
Okay, that might be misleading. Okay, but he's not in a power of political position right now, is he?
Not now.
He didn't lie to the American people continually throughout their career. You're forgetting Filegate, Travelgate. You're forgetting all the Rose. Fiasco. You're forgetting all of those things. What is it about the media and they have to have Hillary as the president of the United States?
I'm not
fulfilling your responsibility. Oh, come on.
I'm not saying you have to have her. I know how flawed she is. I'm just saying I think we face a much more dangerous future with Donald Trump sitting in the Oval Office than with Hillary Clinton.
And that's what everybody.
I think you've already seen what Hillary's capable of. Killing four people, Americans.
Yes, she did that. Absolutely.
Yes, she did. With her indecision, when you accept the position of responsibility and you're it, then you are accountable for what those decisions are.
Why is it all so black and white? Philip, why can't we just have a conversation where, I can see your point, but it's like I can tell you're getting a little irritated, I'm getting a little irritated.
All you guys do is present one side of the story continually. That's all you do. You never present both sides. Yeah, I didn't see you talk 20 minutes on Hillary's lies.
Why did we take your phone call then, Philip? Philip, why are we talking to you on the air?
I'm on the air.
Pardon me?
You're on the air. You are.
That's good, I guess.
So we're taking both sides.
That's the important issue. You have a responsibility also to the American people.
To do what? To entertain, to talk about what's going on.
Yeah, right, exactly. And part of talking about what's going on is to ensure that the people of the United States are hearing both sides of the story. Let them be an informed voter.
Philip, we have to break.
Not
but
a misinformed voter.
Just one quick question, and then we have to break. Is it possible that both sides are lying? Is it possible?
Yes. All politicians lie, but to what extent? To what extent?
Exactly. All right. Philip, we have to break.
You can't ignore that she put this country at risk.
Yeah, the little schoolgirl. Yeah, we heard that.
Yeah, her email.
All right, Philip, thanks for the call, but we do have to break.
Thank you for taking it.
Absolutely.
All right. A lot more people on the line.
Go get a coffee latte or whatever and cool down a little bit.
A lot more people on the line. We'll take your calls, good, bad, or indifferent. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we have gotten into a discussion. What are you eating?
A Starburst.
Good timing.
Things got too hot in here, Wendy. I needed a Starburst to cool me down.
All right. We had talked to Philip, who was a Trump supporter, from what I understood.
Yeah.
Put it this way, he did not like Hillary. And he said
that was subtle, but yes, I was picking up on that same vibe.
Yes.
Yes.
And Philip also said that Ted Cruz said to go with someone who's going to support our Constitution. And according to listener Philip, Donald Trump is that guy. So in his mind, Cruz was supporting Trump. And because Hillary was going to go after the Second Amendment. So I just wanted to get the other side of the coin going here. And Frank, your thoughts on Hillary and the Second Amendment.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill. Thanks for having the opposing side or for giving us an opportunity. She's not going to go after the Second Amendment or any amendment. She wants to enforce maybe the Second Amendment and put some sanity into the Second Amendment and let people, ask people to understand that you don't necessarily need to walk around a farmer's market with an AR-15 strapped to your back when you're looking at homegrown broccoli and homemade soaps. Nobody's going to kill you there.
Right.
These people are pushing paranoia, and this whole convention, I'm a Democrat. I've listened to their whole convention for 3 days, and it's one speaker after another just pushing paranoia. I thought Rudy Giuliani was going to blow a gasket and have a stroke right there. They're all pushing paranoia, and the problem is, the previous caller in 4 minutes is going to switch to another AM radio station and listen to Rush Limbaugh. When they say they're well-informed, that's who's informing them. The guy is a firebrand. He was permitted to do that for the last 30 years by Newt Gingrich when he started the Clear Channel program with broadcasting in the United States. We never had this unfettered propaganda put out over the airs until Newt Gingrich passed the Clear Channel and allowed for this propaganda without equal time. And that's what's led to almost all of these right-wingers being so emphatic about their opinions about everything. It's the hate-filled talk radio, and not yours. The other side.
And somebody said, you guys, thank you so much, Frank, for that. And somebody texted and said, you guys are way too liberal. Then go listen to Rush. And I'll tell you something, listen to Rush, but check your facts, because Rush doesn't always tell the truth either. He's not a little schoolgirl, but.
Not even an entertainer like he claims he is. He's a propaganda machine, period.
Frank, we thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy.
Second Amendment, well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. They're not taking away your right to bear arms, or trying to.
It's just amazing to me that it's 2016 and we're still debating most of the same things we debated 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago, 16 years ago, 20 years ago. We're trying to figure out who should and shouldn't have guns. We're trying to figure out abortion. We're trying to figure out why black people and white people can't get along. At some point, I don't understand why we can't evolve and figure these problems out, but we can't seem to. And both parties, to some extent, take advantage of that. And it's sickening to watch. I mean, and I'm not, I do lean to the left quite a bit, but I'm telling you, it's not just a Republican thing. It is a Democratic thing,
it's
too.
Both.
I see it on both sides.
And that's why I would love to do away with the parties. I know you can't do that, but we need to come together, truly come together as a nation. Who cares if you're leaning left or leaning right? We're in it together. Let's
hopefully
lean in the middle.
Yeah. Let's lean in the middle. 2020.
I guess that wouldn't be leaning.
That should be your slogan for 2020.
Let's lean on each other, Kevin.
Lean on me.
Oh, yeah. Don't lean to the left. Don't lean to the right. Let's lean on each other.
That's
Kevin.
Beautiful, Kevin.
Very meta.
I'm going to light a candle. We're going to do the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I feel like it's a Zika virus. I don't know what it
it's
is.
It's not the Zika virus. Don't worry. This room is free of Zika virus.
You sure?
Jay Farrow is here. I'm positive, Jay. Jay Farrow's here from Saturday Night Live.
I feel like she has it. Okay. Yes, I'm here. Yes. How you doing?
It's nice to see you. You just said the strangest thing when you came in. You were excited to be at WGN for a very specific reason.
That's right.
Why are you thrilled to be at
WGN? Because the Care Bears used to be on this station.
That's
right. I used to watch the Care Bears.
That's
right. I used to let in Widget. Remember Widget? Widget. He's the... I can't say... Can I say...
You can
Widget,
say...
Widget, he's a midget.
No, you can't say that.
Vertically challenged.
Okay.
You
got
to
change
the lyrics. No, but that's the theme music.
That was the music. I remember.
That's just how it is.
I must be too old. Who was Widget?
Widget was a character. I used to go to my grandmother's house, and like in the morning, like when I was like 4 and 5, she would play these to keep me occupied. So I'd watch the Care Bears and Widget.
Yeah. The babysitter was the television,
yeah,
right?
Man.
I did that too.
And then
for
Bob
my kids.
Ross. Remember Bob Ross? But well, that was WHR. That was PBS, but was it PBS?
Not PBS, because it was wrestling, so they wouldn't put that on PBS unless it was authors wrestling each other, which would be a great show.
That would not be very exciting. I'll give you a paper cut.
Yeah.
I thought Bob Ross was on. I thought he was on PBS though.
The painter. Oh, the painting guy, yeah.
Oh, who do you think I was talking about?
The guy with the big hair?
Yes, the afro, the born man.
Oh, my God. I watched him all the time.
Yeah.
And now he's having a resurgence, God rest his soul.
Yeah,
he's no longer with us.
How's he having a resurgence?
Because now on Netflix, you can watch all of the episodes.
I was about to say, please don't talk about resurgence because Independence Day was not good. So... Let's not do that. we want to talk about resurgence. Bob Ross resurgence. He
died. I'm sorry. We didn't want to
I thought he was going to be like a hologram or something. They were going to bring back the show. That's what I thought.
That would be cool.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I thought it was going to be. I don't know, man.
Explain something to us. When you got the job on Saturday Night Live, in all the press kits, they said that you, Jay Farrow, is from Chicago, but you're not from Chicago.
Nah, y'all claim me.
We did.
I would love to come from... Chi-Town got a lot of good stuff here, so I would love to be from the Chi, but I'm not, sadly. I am from Virginia, where it smells like pregnancy and failure. I'm sorry. How does it smell like pregnancy and failure? Because a lot of people having kids and there's a smell. How does it smell like failure? Yeah, you can see them. They fail. All right. It smells, you know, it's a lot of failure there.
You know they're going to ask you to do the state fair now. That kind of material, the Virginia people are going to want to do.
I will rip my city a new hole.
Do you not like Virginia?
I love Virginia.
Yeah,
I love it. It's just, you know, it's a place you go to settle down and die. That's where you go.
I've never
you
been
go
there.
To Virginia for that.
You're selling it.
No, where I'm from, they have DC, DMV area.
Yeah.
That's popping. My sister's like, don't you talk about Virginia, but I don't care. I'm gonna say it because I got freedom of speech, and ain't nobody gonna stop me.
Right,
you know what I mean, for saying
it's America.
This is how I feel about Virginia. I mean, I like it. I mean, I grew up there.
You still have family there?
I have family there. My family's the only reason I go.
All right, well, that makes
sense.
You're a family man.
That's a great reason to
see
my family.
But you wish you were from here. This would be better for you to have been from Chicago.
Oh, this would be dope to be from here. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good people here. Some of my idols are from here. Robin Harris and Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
You got to rest his soul.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, you know. Now, I wish I was up in here, you know. I was talking about the Care Bears and all that, you know. Care Bears amazing, you know, Widget. Can't say the other word, you know. Can't say it now. You should have told me. Should have said something. Should have said something before. I'm going to sit in the back taking selfies. It's ridiculous.
Can I pay you? This is a huge compliment. From all the guys I've ever seen do voices, it seems to be just effortless for you to do voices, to go from one to another on Saturday Night Live. You've had a couple of stints on Weekend Update where you've done things where you've done six or seven or eight guys in rapid succession.
Fantastic.
You just float in and out so easily.
I mean, listen, man, while we're going to talk about that, let's talk about the origins of that. Because right. I ain't had no friends in Virginia, so I used to talk to myself. That's how I did. You know,
boy, it's when a sad story.
Up, I got friends. Of Virginia, but when I was growing up, I used to just be in my room and I used to just like talk to my, because I had to make people up.
Sure.
I didn't want to be lonely.
Right.
I played Chinese checkers with myself.
You did?
I always won.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I did the same thing. You talking
serious.
With the marbles?
Yeah.
With the marbles and it's like, what is this?
I didn't even know how to play, but you.
I just stuck them up my nose.
You win. That's how you win a Chinese checkers.
Stuck up my
how
nose.
Many can you get in your nose? You Ooh. Win.
So you started doing these voices. Who's the first voice you ever did?
Gilbert Gottfried.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was a white dude, ironically. And then everybody's like, oh, he doesn't do white people. I was like, I do a lot of white people. You're just not there to see it. That's all that happens there. You know what
I'm saying? Can you do a little bit of Gilbert Gottfried?
I'm molting! Jafar! Jafar!
What?
Jehu? Jafar! He's molting. Gilbert Gottfried is so funny because he'll be like that on stage. He'll get off stage and he's just like, hey, how you doing?
Isn't that something?
I witnessed that for the first time. I didn't expect it. It shocked me. It's so two different people.
It is a normal this stage. Just like stage Chris Rock and Chris Rock in person is totally different.
Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah. Stage Chris Rock. What the hell? What the hell? What we doing here? What we doing here? You meet him. He's like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? I mean, you know, maybe not. I don't know. I'm just in a business, you know. I don't know. Maybe.
He's like an old Jewish dude in real life. But on stage, like he's totally different on stage. Everybody has a stage voice. Eddie Murphy.
Does he
has
too?
A stage voice.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know what I'm saying? Because when I get in the bed, you know what I'm saying? I get in the bed and I... When I get in the bed, I just, you know, you get off stage, like, you know, it's amazing. You know, I like the process and all of that. It's, you know, it's fun. It's good. It's a good time. How you doing? Hey, what's up?
People walking by going, Eddie Murphy's here. Everybody got excited.
Oh, so that black lady heard me when I said weird black lady.
Oh, no.
I hope she doesn't try to come in and do anything.
No, she, unless we're on the air.
Okay.
She can't, it's not like Big Brother's listening.
Good.
But even that lady has a different stage voice, Jay. Everybody has a different stage.
She does. I mean, maybe I do. What the hell? Hey, what's up?
He's one of the hosts in the evening. I think he might be coming in to interview you. I don't know. Or steal you from us.
I don't think he's going to do that.
All right.
I only got one more on my paperwork and I'm finished.
And then you're done.
That's it.
That's fair.
We're not going to be throwing in no extra interviews here. We're not doing that. Listen.
You've done your job.
Yeah, we've done our job. Listen, I'm sold out. I'm sold out for the first show in Chicago tonight. And the ones in Rosemont, those are the ones that we're focusing on. Even though there's already one that's sold out. And then the other ones are closed. So you got to get them tickets like now.
Zanies.com, by the way.
Zanies. I like how you pulled out the paperwork. He was like, Zanies.com. Oh, shoot, I got to get my notes.
We were going to get to it, Jay. But Zanies.com,
yeah.
Appearing at Zanies tonight. We believe that show to be sold out. But Zanies in Rosemont tomorrow and Saturday, still some tickets available to see you.
The Saturday late one, not so sure.
Not yet.
The early one, there's still a few tickets.
All right.
And the other two almost.
We'll fill that show up for you. People want to see you.
I want you to fill it.
To see you.
You need to fill it.
We need to get that done. When you would do these voices as a kid, what was your family's reaction to this? Were they scared?
They didn't know. My parents were actually unaware of this until I turned, I turned 16. I was secretly performing when I was 15. They didn't know it. And
really?
Then my uncles, I did it all around my other family members. But my parents, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to do it in front of the people that whip you. You know what I mean? You got to go back and do that.
That's true.
Why my sister look like that? Why you make that face, Jada? Oh, she has a very expressive face.
Of course. Well, you both do.
Yeah.
You both have very expressive faces.
I got to work on mine, man, because I know I'd be happy sometimes. And I'm like Kanye, because I'd be happy.
Yeah.
And I'll take a picture, and I think that I'm making a nice, and I'm looking evil. I'm like, that ain't going to sell no tickets.
No, it's not. You'll be scaring people.
That's why.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Like, sure? I don't know. Naturally, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
That's strange.
It's just like, I'm just there. Let's take a picture.
With a very...
In my mind, I'm smiling.
But you're not smiling.
In your face, you're not.
No.
They say you're supposed to say the word yes. Because when you say yes, your eyes smile and your face smiles.
Yes.
See, you're smiling.
That's a happy Jay Farrow we're looking at.
Maybe I need to do that. That's how my profile picture look. I got looking like Cosby right now. That's how I look.
You know I'm not what I mean? Sure that's
I was
good.
Like, yeah, that get good. A lot of attention. That sells some tickets looking like Cosby.
No, well, I was just going to say, my guess is you do a Bill Cosby, but at this point, yeah, it's bad taste to do Bill Cosby.
Yeah, man, it's not even in bad taste. Like, as an impressionist,
mm-hmm.
I get not frustrated, but I get annoyed when people just pull out their Cosby because it's so easy.
Is it?
I would like to. Then they always talk about Jello pudding. Yep. Like, shit, just say something else.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to talk about everybody that did the thing too. You know, something different. Don't talk about pudding. I don't even like pudding. I like cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is amazing. I take cottage cheese and I put it on the cracker and I eat the cracker. Does he say cracker like that? I don't know.
Maybe.
It sounds like he would say cracker like that. Oh, man.
But you know
fun.
What sells Bill Cosby is your eyes are up on top, at the very highest part of your eye. Your eyeballs are way up there and they're moving back and forth. And that's what sells Bill Cosby.
And in the mouth.
In the mouth, right? Yeah.
I'm shocked you don't do a Care Bears impression.
How would I do that? That's a.
Did they talk? I was too old for the Care Bears.
I just remember having a bad dream, right? It sounds very weird. No, trust me. Ain't going to be no Revenant type
all
stuff.
All right, good.
Okay. All right. It was a bad dream. All right. Yeah. I saw this clown messing with the Care Bears. And really? I didn't like that. Care Bears are my friends. Yeah. I don't like that.
Sure.
So I go and I take the clown. I punch the clown in the face. When he goes, oh, you shouldn't have done that. He starts waving his hands like this. I start levitating, and I get sucked into a vortex in which I pick from three nightmares. There was three continuous nightmares I had as a kid.
Yeah.
And this clown made me pick. I had to pick one of these.
Which did you choose?
Which one did I choose? I think at that point, I chose the one at my aunt's house, which I hated because when the light would come on, it would always be a light that would come on, like the hallway light. And then you would hear this loud buzzing. And then I couldn't, like, my body would freeze.
Yeah, sure.
And when your body would freeze and you're moving slow, that's when this thing would come out, this dark, shadowy thing would come out. And it would get you. And it would essentially kill you.
This isn't good, Jay.
No. Boy, Virginia was boring.
Yes.
It was.
I had to make up all this inside of my head. My dreams were my escape.
Hold those thoughts. Jay Farrow's here from Saturday Night Live. He's appearing at Zany's in Chicago tonight. We believe that show to be sold out. Zany's in Rosemont tomorrow and Saturday. Still
what,
some
what
tickets
available.
What
do you mean you believe it to be sold out? That's the Chicago show is sold out.
That show's sold out.
If you try to show up, you're not getting
in
the Chicago
show. They will not let
you in. There's
so
no
go to
place.
Rosemont. It's better.
You better strap yourself to the ceiling.
Zanies.com has all your information. More after this. Bill and Wendy along with Jay Farrow on Saturday Night Live on WGN.
Go ahead, Kevin. You can do the music.
Oshkosh Badosh. Is that what you said?
Bagosh. Remember those overalls?
I remember the overalls.
I had pinstriped ones.
I had corduroy.
Wow. You should still wear those. Those are in fashion.
I'm sure they're not going to fit.
They never
now.
Go out of fashion.
No, I'm sure. I can see Kanye probably wearing those.
But he wears
so,
those?
So tight.
With one strap down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm bringing fashion back, bro. Nobody's doing Oshkosh Badosh like I did it, you know. You know, because, you know, I did, you know, Oshkosh Badosh. What I actually did was, you know, I melded it together with a C-3PO color, and it's gold. And nobody thinks about stuff like that because I'm always out the box. You know, I'm kind of like a puppy that gets adopted. I'm out the box.
All right. Is this
Wait,
this
what?
Is your sister? Yes. She can sit behind me because I notice you need her approval.
No,
every time
no,
you
no,
do
no,
stuff.
No.
Element
her
of
face.
That?
No, man. It's just, well, she can stay there because I want to talk with her. I want to say whatever the
hell
I
want. You're doing great. You're doing great.
You know what I'm saying?
There was a weird moment last night. Two of your co-stars from Saturday Night Live mm-hmm. were on MSNBC talking about the convention. Michael Che was there. Colin Jost was there. And then Chris Matthews asked a question that was a little strange.
Yeah, he said, yeah, you're a funny guy. So who's the funniest black guy?
He asked Michael Che who the funniest black guy was.
Like, wait, what? Wait a minute. You mean like in life? What do you mean? Like, stand-up sketch? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, what I mean, you know, yeah, the funniest black guy. Who's?
And then he was like, I'm going to say Trump. Not Trump. He said Bill Cosby.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He said Cosby.
Why? That was Che's opportunity to go, well, I am.
Yeah.
He didn't do it.
He's not going to do that. Che's not going to do that. He's not going to pat himself on the back like that. Yo, man, I'm the funniest dude ever. They just don't know yet. They don't know. This is my Michael Che impression.
And pretty it's good. A good one.
Yo, yeah. They don't know. Whoa. Check yo, that was crazy, man. No, man. Hey, no.
That's my impression.
That sounds just like him. Of all the voices you do, which one was the hardest to master? Was there one that it just took you a while to figure out?
I think Denzel took me like 3 years.
Did it really? Why?
Because I hadn't gone through puberty yet, man.
Oh, is that why?
Takes a lot of sexual swagger to be able to do that, and I ain't had none. You know what I mean? I was very awkward while I was younger. So, you know, all right, but now, it's different now.
You your see Denzel that? Is dead on.
Yeah, you like the Denzel, huh? That's
what
you like.
He's beautiful.
Yeah, he's beautiful. Yeah. You ain't looking at me. You looking out the window, so you must be imagining him outside.
Or inside.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know we could get like that on WGN radio. Huh?
No, I meant in the studio.
Oh, that's what you meant. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what you meant. Yeah, I know what you're doing. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
But to him, there's a lot of okays, all rights. There's a lot of...
Okay, yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's the key to him, isn't it?
Decoding. Yeah. A lot of eye blinking. If you blink your eye, if you act like you got somebody just blasted some sand in your eye, and you just that's Denzel.
That's the key to Denzel Washington. Is blink a lot of eye blinks.
Yeah, it's a lot of eye blinks, and it's a lot of lip.
Yeah,
and like surprise looks like. All right. Yeah. Okay. Huh. Okay. Oh, show you not. Oh, show you had that. And a lot of whispering.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to do Denzel's quiet time. Then just have him do like storybooks and stuff. Once upon a time, a place far, far away. And put Morgan Freeman out of business. Morgan be mad like, why did you take my job? You know? Morgan wouldn't like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That guy is, Morgan Freeman's an old dude.
The best.
Morgan Freeman's got he's got wrinkles on his baby pictures. That's an old man right there.
He's so cool though. From the electric company, Easy Reader. That guy's so cool.
He's cool. He's just old. He's one of the oldest black men on earth. Morgan Freeman's old. We can talk about
Chris
him.
Matthews asked you that question. He said, who's the oldest black man on earth?
I would have said Morgan Freeman. There would have been no question with me. Then I would have been on CNN having to apologize to Morgan Freeman, which I would have refused. I'm not apologizing. It's true. It's fact. I'm not apologizing for something that's fact. You know what I mean? If it's made up, I'm going to apologize for it. But come on, sir. What if you see Morgan Freeman young? You've never seen it.
You're right.
He's always been old.
You never see Morgan Freeman young. Even when he had a dark fro, his face was like 287. Remember he had the fro and it was all nappy and he needed the S-curl kit? You know what an S-curl kit is?
Well, like Jerry Curl, kind of something okay. like that.
Yeah, Jerry Curl. He needed a comb. He needed a relaxer. He needed to relax his hair. Listen, I know about this struggle because my hair is rough. It's got a little softer since I've been older, but when I was younger, I used to have the metal pick and then the metal pieces would come off and it would just be the fist. You know what I'm saying? You just stuck with the fist.
Sure.
Like after it was there, it wasn't, you know what I mean? After I was done, it was like black power. Like it was finished. Like there was nothing else. It was it. I don't even know what happened to the metal picket. Like they just disappeared.
Gone.
My fro ate it. My mom used to braid my hair, and she used to braid my hair, and she would her fingers would get slit like
really.
It was like braiding a Brillo pad.
Yeah,
like you know that's how rough it was. It got soft sometimes. My hair's just it's indecisive. My hair's Libra. It's indecisive. Because Libras are indecisive. I know because I am a Libra. I'm very indecisive. Sorry, Morgan Freeman. I shouldn't have said that.
What are you going to do when Barack Obama leaves office?
What do you mean what I'm going to do?
I love you, Barack.
Oh, when's the last time we've seen it? We haven't seen it in a while. It's
it
fine.
It has been way
Barack,
too long.
Barack said he wanted to come back on the show and do it with me before.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
He said he wanted to do that. When I saw him in October, and he said, I'm going to try to get back on there. So... I can do it with you. And that would be fun. It'd be a real good job. And it would be actually so cool. I like to have fun. I do. You should. I'm not.
Jay, when you got that part, when you got Barack Obama, it was Fred Armisen for a couple of years. So what went on behind the scenes that they went, Fred's fine, but we got a guy who can really do Barack Obama. What happened?
That's not what happened.
No?
No, that's not. It was just a train. You know, the show just has transitional periods, and they just transitioned. They just let me do the role. Lorne Michaels hit me up the summer before. He was like, can you do Barack? I was like, yeah. He was like, yo, just make sure you have your Barack ready, all right, for September. And I was like, all right, man, cool, man. I guess I'm going to practice, I guess.
Yeah. But that's just job security. If you're the guy on Saturday Night Live who plays the president, you got 4 years or 8 years of a job, don't you?
Yeah, and then you can come back as an announcer, as Daryl Hammond. Right.
That's true.
Or come back as Trump, or get cast again in the show.
Yes.
And be Trump, because it's a possibility.
It's so nice to meet you.
Don't even say that, but you know it is.
Hey.
It might happen.
You don't
probably
know.
Will.
Yeah, all those people, there's a lot of all those supremacists, dog. Like, they're serious. We don't want... We're going to make America great again. We're going to get Donald Trump in there, even though I cannot afford one night at the Trump Towers. My credit cards all declined. Woo! White power. They're ready. They're ready for that.
Go see Jay Farrow. Don't go to Chicago unless you already have tickets, because that show is
Chicago's
sold out.
Gone.
That show is history.
As we know.
As we know, it's gone. Zanies and Rosemont tomorrow and Saturday, though.
Yeah.
Still some tickets, zanies.com. Jay, great to see you, and
great
keep up the great
too,
work over
Thank
on the
you.
Show. You're Thank really you, funny.
Say Thank hi you. To Denzel for me.
Oh, yeah, sure. When I meet him, he's the only one I haven't met, sweetheart.
That is the only one you haven't met?
And Lenny Kravitz told me. Lenny Kravitz said he showed the video of me doing him, of me doing Denzel and Will Smith to Denzel. Huh? And that's how he got introduced to my impression. So it was all Lenny.
I like him, too.
It was all the Kravitz. I know you do. Frank and Beans. Huh?
Yes.
The pants were so
I
tight
those
they ripped.
Pants.
And
saw
all
it.
You saw was Frank and Beans. That's
it.
What you saw.
Loved it.
Beans and a Frank.
Let's get a campfire going.
Jay Farrow's new movie, Frank and Beans, opens September 10th. Go see it in theaters. Thank
wait,
you,
wait, wait. Which one? Campfire?
Your new movie, Frank and Beans.
Oh, Frank and Beans, yes. Yes.
In 3D. See it in 3D.
In
Spend 3D. The extra $8.
IMAX.
It's the
Thanks,
best.
Jay.
RPX
Thanks,
for Regal Cinemas. You know they try to be different, those bastards.
That won't work. That
right.
won't work. Thanks, Jay. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Kim. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. A quick glance outside, and it appears to be about 9:30 at night all of a sudden.
I saw that big-ass cloud roll in. And
that's what
the
they're called for people who didn't study.
I got that from Skilling.
Tom Skilling has referred to them in the past as.
My word, the phrase.
Right. My word, it's a big-ass cumulonimbus.
it's a large honey cloud, Wendy, coming in from the west. I don't think we've seen a large honey cloud of this size in a long, long time.
It was coming in from the northeast with lots of fervor, and it just looked like a giant monster, a smoke monster if you watched Lost.
From,
come over the city, and the wind picked up, and I felt a few raindrops. So it's very volatile weather right now.
I think it is. What do we do?
Broadcast
to
the masses?
We will continue to broadcast to the masses.
Let you know if anything's
but
happening.
But keep in mind, if anything serious happens, I'm going to run away like a five-year-old girl.
I hear a EAS alert.
There's a weather whistle.
See what I'm saying?
There's a weather whistle.
Time to
I got
wet
mine in Cracker
whistle.
Jack, by the way. I still
actually
use it.
It looks like a severe thunderstorm warning for Lake Indiana. Let me let it scroll across. Until 2 o'clock. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning for Lake Indiana until about 2 o'clock, 1:54.
How about that? We were on top of it before it even happened.
Before it even scrolled across the screen.
See?
Yep.
I am a bit of a weather geek.
Mm-hmm. You are, aren't you?
I really am. I have a shrine for Tom Skilling on my mantle.
Yes. You gave me some distressing news earlier that I was not aware of in the world of weather, and that is the retirement of Jerry Taft. Pretty soon. Not yet.
In August.
In August, Jerry Taft is hanging up his weather boots.
And Cheryl Scott will be taking his job.
I didn't know this. This is news to me. I got to know Jerry when you and I worked at WLS at different times, and I got to know him pretty well over there, and he's a very nice man, And he, to me, because he's been a Chicago weatherman for years and years and years.
We have gone through many phases of Jerry Taft.
You're referring to the perm days, aren't you?
It worked. It was, you know, all the Brady kids got their curly hair, so it was time for him to get
it. Jerry Taft followed what the Brady kids did.
I think you pointed that out.
You could tell the weather by how Jerry's perm looked back then. You'd look at his perm and go, his perm is wet. I bet it's raining outside.
Humidity up. It's a little frizzy. But seriously, I was looking, and the lightning strikes were over the lake, so that means Indiana, look out, because that's where the storm is, and these clouds blew in. So, I mean, I'm a weather geek, and I wanted to warn people, and
you're doing your job
before the severe thunderstorm warning happened. Yeah. So we've got you covered here.
Do they still? There used to be like a weather radio. Do you remember this?
They still make it.
They still make those.
NOAA. No.
What is that?
I don't know if that's it.
Did those wind up, or were they like battery powered?
My sister's a little bit of a neurotic like I am. Yeah. And for Christmas one year, she requested a wind up weather radio.
Do you have to keep winding it while you're listening, like a Jack in the Box?
No.
And then does Tom Skilling's head pop out and go, there's a storm.
If they don't make one of those, we are missing the boat.
A Tom in the Box.
Oh, my God, that
has to
happen.
I would love a Tom in the Box.
But you crank it, and it builds up enough energy. It doesn't make that
noise. Now, is that like, I mean, is it like a shower radio, too, where it's waterproof? Because that would make sense.
That's even better if they have that.
I'm not really sure, but I know you crank it, and then it runs for a while, kind of like a Victrola. And then when it starts, then you wind it again.
You have to wind it again.
And it,
and the purpose, of course, if people don't know, is you don't want to plug it in because there's a chance your electricity is out if it's a storm, right? Is that why?
Right. And who has extra batteries?
Not me.
Walgreens isn't going to be open either when your batteries are not there.
That's true.
That's a tip for storm season. Get some extra batteries.
Yep. Very good. Solid advice, Wendy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and because we need it, basically, we need to rest. And then when we come back, a lot more show. Stick around. Andrea Darlis, our own Andrea Darlis, by the way, is in Cleveland, Ohio, the site of the Republican National Convention. We'll check in with her, I think at 2 o'clock, at 2:05, we'll check in with her.
What will happen tonight, I wonder?
How do you top what's gone on the last few nights?
I don't know, I have a feeling.
Is there a way to top it? We'll find out. Stick around, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Yes, the clouds have rolled in. A lot of people have texted us, 312-981-7200. Pictures of dark clouds rolling in. And if you notice people walking down Michigan Avenue, they're totally looking up because it's really like the smoke monster from Lost.
It got very gray and dark in a very short span of time. It was really sunny, and then the sun just subsided, and now it looks like the end of days. This isn't a panic. I'm not trying to panic anybody, but if you could all get your affairs in order, because this might be the end.
And someone has texted that Tom Skilling promotes Midland weather radios around the time of his tornado seminars. You can program it to only go off when the watch or warning pertains to your county or area.
That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
I get alerts. And NOAA, I was right. That is the...
You mentioned that one, and those letters are familiar to me, but I don't know why. That's some sort of a radio, a weather...
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA.
NOAA.
So, yeah, I have to get one of those because I think I like to panic.
Oh.
I think I've realized that I like to get alerts. I just like to know what's going on.
Do they make a sports version of that radio that will tell me very important late-breaking sports scores? It'll only go on when there's a West Coast game that's ended. Like that kind of thing, because I could use that information.
You know, you can get alerts on your phone, like when we have the Blackhawks app.
That's the work of witches.
Which is pretty great, except when you're watching the game on delay your son's alert goes off and you're like, don't even tell me.
I know.
I don't want to know. I don't even like hearing the noise.
Do you know, the other night when we went to the Cubs-Mets game, there were two different times where I was down in the stadium, like the game was going on. But I went to get something for Kylie to drink and eat one time, and I was down underneath.
You didn't get anything for yourself? You're blaming it on her?
I only get $20 a day, Wendy. I didn't have enough for myself. How sad is that? So I provided for my child instead of myself. I know. It's selfless, isn't it? But even within the bowels of Wrigley Field, those TVs, because they've got TVs all over the place now. They've done a really good job of putting TVs everywhere. But those TVs are on 7-second delay. So many times you would hear the reaction of the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, people would be upset. And then you watch on the TV and a guy would get a base hit like 7 seconds later.
Why
you would
is think that?
Those should be synced up, right?
But you have to have a delay. Don't they take the delay off for sporting events?
No. No, the delay is still on.
I don't think so.
I know for a fact because even when, you know, there are, I don't know if you've had this, but there have been times I've had the radio on in one room and the TV in the other with the same game. Sometimes Blackhawks, sometimes right. Cubs or White Sox or something. And those are off by several seconds, the same play.
Well, the radio, I believe. With live sports, I thought you had to take the delay off, Kevin.
Think about when, like, athletes will be excited after a game and swear. Usually you don't hear it because of the delay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. Usually you do hear it.
The Shaw rule.
Or...
He got a little exuberant,
didn't he? Mr. Goalie.
Yeah.
Corey Crawford.
Corey Crawford also said a swear.
See, I thought for sporting events you don't have the delay on because you want it to be happening live.
If you ever made a professional sports team, there'd be like a 20-minute delay. We wouldn't get to see the game.
I don't find your humor amusing at all anymore. I used to think you were really funny. Now it's just getting old.
The game would like be you, way over. People would be home already up. And they would be showing the end of it on TV.
Well, for people who are busy, they could watch it later on.
All right. There,
see,
there's the...
I'm always half full.
I know. Full I guess so. I guess so. You know what we have not discussed? We talked a little bit about the convention from last night, the Republican convention, and we will talk about it again because Andrea Darlis is there. She is in Cleveland, and we'll get her perspective on what's going on there in Cleveland. But there was a strange moment last night between Mike Pence, he's your new vice presidential nominee, and Donald Trump, where they were together on stage, and there was... How do I say this politely? There was a kiss that almost happened, but it didn't. You know what I mean? Did you see this?
The air kiss?
There was an air kiss.
Who left who hanging? That's what I want to know.
In my opinion, it was Pence who didn't want to kiss Donald Trump. And it was weird. It was what I don't understand the moment. They were together on stage, and Trump moved in to kiss him.
Well, that's an act, too. I don't think Trump would have kissed him. He was trying...
Oh, his tongue was out. Did you see his tongue? Come here, you.
This, I believe,
here,
hot, was before...
My hot silver fox, come here.
Was it before Mike Pence went on stage? I almost...
After.
It was?
Yeah, it was after.
Because he wanted to... Trump wanted to say, you know, hey, this is my guy. I love him.
So and I'll show you how much.
Yeah, I think that was a fake thing. And I, you know, Mr. Pence is not really for LGBTQ issues, so I'm sure he wanted to get away from that.
But I don't even think it was because of his stance on that. I just thought it was an awkward moment where he went, wow, a guy who's never kissed me is about to kiss me, and I don't know if I want to kiss him. I have no idea.
When's the first time they talked? Had they even talked before he
yeah,
went up? I'm kidding. But
they had, but that particular moment, and I'm sure you've been in situations where you're greeting somebody, maybe a friend somehow, and you don't know, is this a handshake? Is this a hug? Is this an embrace? Is this a kiss? You don't know what's coming, and I don't think Mike Pence expected Trump to give him a full-on smooch, but that's what was headed his way.
Yeah, but you just kind of roll with it then. I mean, I had an awkward moment with Jay Farrow's sister who escorted him up here. When she was leaving, I said, thank you so much. And I noticed that her arms kind of went up, even though I stuck my hand out to shake her hand.
Right.
So then I put my hand down and I hugged her.
Oh,
and we
you
hugged.
Did. Well, that was nice.
But you got to read the body language of other people. And
right.
If people are coming in to give you a kiss on the cheek, just give you, I mean, don't give them your lips unless it's your, you know, spouse
right.
or something.
Good advice. Solid advice.
You know, if someone's coming in for a lip shot, and you're married and it's not your husband or wife, just turn your head, let them get your cheek. That's what I do all the time.
What if, now this is a parallel universe, what if Trump goes to give Pence a kiss last night and Pence likes it and they just start making out right there on the stage? How does that change the game a little bit?
Well, then all of a sudden you'd hear this music come up in the queue.
Kiss. Yeah.
And then they start dancing, the whole dance, and they go off the side of the stage.
Yeah, Prince can't ask them to stop playing his music, sadly. Other performers have, but Prince doesn't.
Brian May of Queen said, no. Why do people do that? Don't they know they're going to get their hand slapped for using music that
has
not been approved?
Oh, you mean if a politician uses...
Yeah, we are the champions.
Oh,
Brian May said, no, we did not endorse that.
Right, yeah. He's got a string of performers who have asked him to not use his music. And he's very litigious, so you would expect if you're Trump, some band or performer is going to come after you. I don't know. But that was in a night of strange moments, and there have been several strange moments the last couple of nights in Cleveland. I was watching that, and it was like so just
awkward.
Weird. Yeah, because Trump doesn't seem the type to just throw kisses around at random.
That was planned.
Unless you're a woman from an Eastern European nation, then he's ready to give you a kiss anytime you want one. But he didn't, that was from way, way, way deep in left field. And then you just saw Mike Pence's face like, well, here's the decision of a lifetime. Do I give in to this kiss? Do we go out to dinner first? What do we do?
And I think Trump had that completely planned. Because really, he's trying everything, go big or go home. He does everything big and exaggerated. And he's like, I want to show you, I love my running mates. Come here. What a strange trip it's been.
Well, there's one more night of strangeness, and then we get a different kind of strangeness soon with the Democratic National Convention.
I can't wait to see that, but I don't know if, in comparison, it might be boring.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, too. That's what I'm a little bit afraid of. I'm going to watch it, but this one's going to be hard to top. And I've heard people debate back and forth over the last couple of days, is it more advantageous to be the first convention or the second convention? You know, it's like home field advantage. The team that's the home team gets to bat second, and that's usually an advantage. I don't know if that pertains to these conventions.
Definitely second.
Do you think second?
Yeah,
why do you think second?
Because you can use what happened at their convention.
Very good. True.
As your ammunition.
Yeah, that's true.
Look what they did.
Right. And hopefully you learn a little something of what maybe to not do as much or what to do more of, see what played well and what didn't play well.
And
will,
you know,
will they ask Ted Cruz to speak at the Democratic convention?
That would be funny.
That would be excellent.
And you know, Bill Clinton's going to be walking around trying to air kiss everyone except Hillary.
I know. All right, a break and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Veronica, thank you. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. If you want to call in with questions or comments, or maybe you have a recipe you'd like to share, we're at 312-981-7200.
You're saying that jokingly. I would take any recipes. I make the same stuff all the time, and I'm really sick of it.
Send Wendy your recipes. Any allergens? Is there anything you need to keep away from?
Nope,
you're okay with gluten?
Good.
Only your gluten recipes. I want to make some good gluten.
Gluten for glutes. That's my new Facebook page.
I'm trying to get Cubs pitcher Bert Hooten to be the spokesperson with the campaign Hooten for Gluten. You don't think people would jump on that?
Not
sure
him.
Sure is shooting. Bert Hooten for gluten.
What, are you moonlighting as an advertising agent?
Yes. My own agency. Here's a story that has been around for a week, and somehow you and I have not discussed this, and it has all the elements that we like in a story. It has intrigue. It has naked people. It has a question of morals. Can I share this story with you?
Please do.
There's a woman named Dani Mathers who I had never heard of before. And Dani used to be a Playboy. I can't discern if it's a Playboy playmate. Yeah, it must be playmate because it says here, I'm reading her bio. She's a former Playboy playmate of the year.
What's her name?
Dani Mathers.
As the beaver.
Dani. All right, I resign. Kevin, I'm handing in my badge. Dani Mathers. Come on, there's kids listening, Wendy. There's little kids home from school. I don't get it. Dani Mathers was a Playboy playmate, or maybe still is.
You waited for me to say it. I'm not saying it again.
Don't say it
again. I like my job.
I can't unhear what you've already said. I'm trying to, and I can't. Dani Mathers is a Playboy Playmate of the Year.
Yeah.
That is one of the highest honors that can be bestowed upon a civilian, I think. All right. So she, let me tell you the backstory on this. Don't.
What are you doing?
Don't.
Is it Dani, D-A-N-I?
Yeah. The traditional playmate spelling of Dani. All right. So she, you know, because she's a Playboy playmate, of course, much of her day is spent at the health club working out to maintain her physique.
She's pretty.
That. She's a very pretty girl.
Yes, I'm looking at her face.
Yes. So so Dani spends some time at the LA Fitness there where she lives in La La Land. And she's in the women's locker room.
Good place for her.
And she, I would argue, the best place for her. And she's looking around in the woman's...
To compare herself to others, probably.
Well,
I am
sadly,
so much hotter than that.
Sadly, that's true. That's what the story
that's
is about.
That's why I'm the playmate of the year.
She sees a woman in the shower there at the LA Fitness in Los Angeles who is not built to the same proportions that, Danny Mathers is. This is a woman
who looks...
So
she's genuine?
Yeah. She looks like a real person. Danny Mathers doesn't like this, so she takes a picture of the woman in the shower. She takes out her cell phone, snaps a photograph of herself, and puts it on social media, explaining to the world that she can't unsee this, so nobody else should be able to either. So you get a picture of the woman from behind, but right there on the internet with Danny Mathers' comment, hey, I gotta look at this. Now you have to look at this, right? So I know you're disgusted, right?
She
you can't do that.
Not, she should get her title taken away.
Well, she's not getting her title taken away, but LA Fitness has disassociated. They have canceled her membership, and I think she prepaid a month in advance, so she's out $69, $79.
Of course,
I don't
that's
know what.
The
all right.
So
she can no longer work out there, which is sad for humanity because she needs to work out, obviously. But her comments are not sitting well with most people, and rightfully so. And no matter what her comments were, and they were terrible, you can't just see a person and go, look at this woman and snap their picture and put it on social media. That's wrong. But how about the act of just taking a picture of this woman without her clothes on?
First of all, this stupid, I gotta watch my mouth.
Watch your mouth.
Whatever, Danny Mathers.
Yes.
Danny has no, maybe this woman has lost 150 pounds.
Right.
And wants to continue her success.
Right.
So she's working out and making herself healthy.
That's a very good possibility.
Maybe she has never worked out before in her life and wants to feel good about herself and
right.
just starts working out.
Right.
Who is Danny Mathers?
Former Playmate of the Year.
I know who she is. Oh. Well, I don't know her personally.
Right.
But who is she to like police the showers?
Right. Right.
Shame on her.
Exactly.
And I hate when people say that. Shame on you, Belle Laugh.
That seems like something your aunt would say.
Yes.
But in this case, it's appropriate.
Isn't it interesting, though, that she probably has things on her that aren't 100%?
Not probably. I would testify in court that parts of her are made in a factory
yes.
somewhere.
All right. Well, she will come back and say, really? Because I work out 20 minutes on the treadmill. This is Danny speaking. Wait. I'm on the treadmill for like 20 minutes.
Celebrity voice impersonated, by the way.
And then what I do a 30-minute weight circuit.
Mm-hmm.
How good it feels. Muscles tight and tired.
Mm-hmm.
Sports bra soaked in sweat. Discarded on the bench.
Could you read the rest slower?
No.
All right.
But good for her. So she has found something that works for her to enhance her
she without a
natural
doubt.
Natural self.
Yes. She had some parts added
shame
on later.
Shame on her.
Yes, yes. So it's very distressing. Now, there was a woman, and I'm trying to find her name. I had her name yesterday, and I don't know what I did with it. There's some woman who's a blogger who is not built to the proportions of Danny Mathers, who also took a picture of herself and posted it all over the place either yesterday or the day before. This is Thursday, right? So this would have been on Tuesday. There's some woman.
Karina Bland?
No. The woman's last name is Blackman, I remember, but I don't remember what her first name is. Blackman spelled B-L-A-C-K-M-O-N, but I don't remember her first name. But I saw her picture because she said, hey, body shamers out there like Danny Mathers, I'm just a normal woman, and there's a lot of folds and wrinkles and things that happen to our bodies as we get older. We can't all look like a Playboy Playmate of the Year. So here's me with all my flaws. Have at it. You know, which was a very brave stance.
That's just disgusting. That, and someone wants to know, isn't it illegal to take a
it
photo
is.
Of a naked person
it
and
is.
Post it?
Yeah, because there's a police investigation going on in Los Angeles right now about this. It even says, I'm a former member of LA Fitness. And
La Fitness.
La Fitness, as we say in France. And there are signs posted when you go into the locker room saying, you know, put your phones away. You're not allowed to use your phones. You can't be taking pictures of other people in the locker room, But Dani Mathers did not subscribe to that theory when she took a picture and posted it on the internet of this woman, of this poor woman. And now, you can't identify. You don't know who this woman is, but
still,
regardless of that.
She knows who she is.
Right.
And it probably took a lot of courage to get to a health club.
Sure.
Because, you know, you go there and you want instant results and you don't look like everybody else there. And
right.
you keep going and hopefully better your life for what you want, not for someone else.
Dead on true.
She's, you know, it's not like she took a picture of some woman eating Cheetos on a couch in the locker
right.
room. She's
right.
there working out.
But have you ever seen
not
this?
That she should take a picture of someone sitting in the locker room on a couch
not.
Either. But
of course not.
She's trying is what I'm saying.
Have you ever seen this? I see this on local and national news a couple of times a year. There will be a story about how America has let itself go and that everybody's obese and fat and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And they show stock footage.
It's the same woman, isn't it?
It's a woman walking
down the
street.
With the white stretch pants?
Yeah. And her
butt is shaking.
Yeah, it's really big. All right, so we don't know who that is, but we know that every station has stock footage of either that woman or a woman who looks like her walking down a street, kind of lumbering down the street, and she's heavy. And I always think to myself, that's somebody, like somebody's watching the news going, hey, that's me. Whoever took that footage, that's me in that video. How is that? I mean, that's not as bad as this woman in the shower. That's
still as bad.
That yeah, it is, isn't it?
Get somebody who has given you permission to take a photo of them lumbering right. down the street.
Right.
I'll do it.
Don't you
for
think?
How much money, I don't know.
And there's a kid version of it too, because I've seen a kid version where there's kids just kind of walking through a playground. They're just walking. There's two or three kids and they don't show the kids' faces. They just show them from like neck on down. But you go, oh, those are real kids.
And they've used the same footage, honestly, it
I
seems,
know.
For over 15 years.
I know, because there's like a DeSoto in the background. You go, hey, that's old footage. I know that. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'd love to hear your thoughts. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, we're getting a lot of texts and phone calls about this story about a former Playboy playmate, Dani Mathers, who went to a health club, LA Fitness, or La Fitness, as you refer to it, Wendy. And actually, one of the texts, can I read you this text? 847 says, one of my friends who is Mexican loves La Fitness. She thought it was a Hispanic health club. It is not. It's
really?
LA Fitness. So here's what Dani does, the former Playboy playmate. She's in the shower. She sees a woman in there who is not built like a Playboy playmate, and few of us are. So she takes a picture of the woman and puts it on social media saying, I had to look at this. You all have to look at this. And she got kicked out of LA Fitness, and it's
what a biznet.
Exactly.
I don't even know.
Exactly. So we're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call or text.
Susan, I can't believe this. Can you?
No, and I think it's really arrogant of, you know, this person to take the picture. And like you say, Wendy, you said it took courage for this woman to go to the health club and work out. I'm overweight. I don't want to go. I'm ashamed to go. I'm scared to go to health club, you know, and there, this kind of stuff just reinforces it. You know, it's just too much shaming in this society.
And I don't think your average person is going to do it. This woman is obviously having some inner issues because, again, why do you care about anybody else? You should say, oh, I look great. Look at her. She's trying to look better. She's trying to get healthy.
Right.
What does she care? There's no comparison from this woman to her. Why would she shame someone?
I don't know.
I hate her.
Oh, hate Wendy. Come on. Hate's too strong.
Thanks,
Susan.
Thank
you. Thank you. I work out in a health club at least 2 days a week and sometimes more. And without a doubt, almost every time I'm in my health club, there's always a handful of people that are not sculpted and in great shape. And my heart goes out to them because I feel exactly like you did. It must be so hard to go into a place where you know
people are looking at you. People
yeah.
check everyone out.
Yeah.
And but then conversely, you have your gym rats too that don't even need to work out. They just want to go there because they feel
right.
special.
Right. And a lot of the ones at my health club have shirts that are slit all the way down, and I don't even know where you get those. Do you know what I mean? They're not just tank tops.
Oh, like the underarm hole is down real low?
Yeah, exactly.
Or do you mean they have a midriff one?
No, some of them do.
These are men?
But yeah, these are men, and they like where the sleeves would be cut out for it to be a tank top, it's slit all the way down, and then there's a little bit of material
oh, yeah.
at the waistline as if to say, huh? You know what I mean?
My arm, my guns got so big, I blew out the sleeves.
I completely, in a Hulk-like manner, just bursted out of my own shirt.
That's just because they can't go shirtless there, right? Don't most health clubs have a rule where you have to have a shirt on?
No, there's guys in my club who don't wear shirts.
Well, then
there's
just a couple take guys it off, babies.
Yeah. Now, at the club I go to, they're on the television monitors. Like, they play a couple of videos, and then in between every three videos, they post messages of encouragement.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? Which I also like, right? But then...
Keep going, fatty, stuff like that?
Yeah, it says that. It says, keep going, fatty. That's right. So then, in addition to that, it'll flash a rule or two about the health club, like things to keep
no
in mind while you're working out.
No smoking on the treadmill?
You would hope they wouldn't have to post that, but yeah, that's one of
those
them.
Those are drink holders, not ashtrays.
Right, right. But one of them is, it says, don't stare at other people using the equipment. And I always think, wouldn't you already know? Like, who's that for? Who would just stand there and stare at somebody?
For somebody who wants that machine, they're trying to use intimidation to get them off the machine so they can use it quicker.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But
I used to go to a health club like 40 years ago.
But isn't it a peculiar way to tell somebody what is already kind of an understood rule? I mean, that should be a rule everywhere.
Yeah,
no matter where you are, don't stare at the other people.
You haven't had people that camp out on a machine and hang their towel on it and go get a drink of water
and then come back.
And then don't you give them the eagle eye stare? Like, come on, buddy, I need it. I got to work on my lats.
Yeah, I guess. But I would never say, hey, look at rule 6. What does rule 6 say?
I would print it up and just hold it up
to them.
Like you're at a Cubs game or a Sox game with a
right.
sign and just go, I'm not supposed to stare at you.
But here's
get
the,
out.
It's my turn. Yeah.
Bring your water bottle. Don't take time to go to the drinking fountain.
There are guys who have this weird routine where they'll use two or sometimes three machines simultaneously, like a triangle of machines. So they want to keep all the machines clear so
they can
do their... Yeah, but if somebody else is on a machine, you got to give way.
That's what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
There's definite.
But they would, like, in this thing of rules that they post where it says don't stare at somebody, they'd never put don't take naked pictures of other customers in the shower because we all know that already.
Not Danny.
Danny Mathers doesn't know it.
Shame on her. Hi, yeah. Jimmy. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Bunny Babe, I think she just took a picture of the other woman. By making someone else look bad, it makes you look good. There's some unwritten rule in life. I don't know where it comes from, but I know there's tons of people out there that they just aspire to make other people look bad, thinking it makes them look good.
But it ended up not making her look good. It made her look really bad, don't you think?
Oh, I get that. Have you found an instance where that ever works out for the person?
No,
but she was looking for instant gratification to make herself feel better. Listen, when someone's mean to you, it's because that person is unhappy with an aspect of themselves. Seriously.
That's true.
However, I get it. I just, there's that rule out there, and I haven't found who wrote it or where it comes from, but a ton of people aspire by it.
Yep.
Do unto others, Jimmy.
Yeah, you betcha.
You got all biblical.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
you
Jimmy.
Too.
That was very biblical.
Thank you.
That was highly biblical.
Thank you.
I'm with Wendy on this. I hate this woman, too.
I know that's
hate
a strong
is very
word,
strong.
But I'm serious.
You can't hate her. Do you hate her?
What in the world would make you think she has any kindness in her if she did that? Seriously.
Right. I know.
Just everybody stop judging everybody else. Just mind your own business. Some people go to the health club not to lose weight. They just want to reduce their stress or feel better, get those endorphins going. Don't judge. I'm sick of everybody.
But let's say, again, hypothetical, that you're somebody like this woman who fits into that bracket, right? She's not, this woman whose picture she took, she's not hoping to be a Playboy Playmate of the Year at some point in her life. She's going for whatever reason. Maybe it is just to relieve stress. Maybe it is just to tone up. Whatever her reason is. Isn't this going to be like such a deterrent in the future for her or anybody like her where they just go, boy, all I want to do is go to the health club for a little bit. I got to worry about some Playboy Playmate taking my picture in the shower. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's a terrible world. Marco, what are you thinking about this?
Hey, I'm thinking, what is it these people using their cell phones in the sauna? This Danny Mathers chick is like, you can tell she's got the wood on it and she's like fully clothed because she's in the sauna. Who's using their cell phone in the sauna?
Well, she's taking selfies of herself, of course. She's a former Playboy.
She doesn't
playmate.
Care about being naked in public. Yeah.
But my phone works in the steam room. I thought it would like fritz out or something. Like, I didn't know I could.
She's
I could
probably
do that,
on her fifth phone.
I guess.
Maybe.
I agree with you, Marco.
Thanks.
Bill, Marco. You're hypothetical, I'm biblical.
Right, that's the
that's
difference.
That's the difference. That's, we're like yin and yang. We're hypothetical and biblical.
Several people on here have suggested, I'm trying to find the best one. Well, several people on here have suggested, here's one. Bill and Wendy, even if this woman had been beautiful, it was still wrong to take her photograph and wrong to post it anywhere. If I were her, I would hire a good lawyer. Several people have said that. There's got to be some legal entanglement here in having somebody else who attends your health club just snapping photos of you in the shower and posting them online.
I'd take down La Fitness, too.
Yeah. Would
you?
Seriously,
yeah. You know? I mean, I know they can't police everyone,
right.
But...
Right.
Shame on everyone.
Shame on everyone, says Wendy. You're all in under shame. That's very biblical.
Thank you. Oh, I right. dropped a tablet.
Oh, be careful. they're heavy, aren't they?
Yes.
Easy to drop. We'll take a quick break, and then we have more show for you. We'll check in with Andrea Darlis. She's in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention. It is Spill and Wendy on WGN. Well, last night was quite a night. It's been an interesting, quote-unquote, 3 days.
Interesting? You can't come up with a better word for
it's
this?
It's been an unpredictable
a
3 days.
Sideshow?
It's been, yes, both Ringling and Barnum and all the circus people
and
were
the
there.
And the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow
they were
as
there.
Well.
Our own Andrea Darlis is there in Cleveland, Ohio. Andrea, is it as weird there as we're watching, or is it even stranger?
Oh, it's completely, completely strange. In fact, you guys caught me at the best possible place I could ever be right now.
Where are you?
I positioned myself to be here during your show, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's yeah. perfect. That's excellent.
It was so cool. I had to take a break from the craziness.
Of course. All right, let's start out with what went on last night. I think everyone around is aware that Ted Cruz did not give his endorsement to Donald Trump, and that met with some mixed emotions, right?
Yeah, that met with a lot of boos. Now, I was on the floor early on, but then, of course, once the program starts, they move the media up to the nosebleed seats. And I heard after Cruz spoke, during the speech, I heard a couple of boos, but it's not as amplified, maybe because I was so high up. But then after, we're kind of looking at each other, we're saying, are they booing? Or are they saying Cruz? I know mm-hmm. it sounds funny, but, you know, we didn't know if they were saying Cruz, and then another reporter went, no, I think those are the boos. And then that got weirder when Donald Trump walked into the arena because he's in the family box and he's with his kids. And then there was cheering. And not everybody knew that Trump had walked into the arena at that exact point. So, again, there was a little bit of confusion of, are they booing? Are they saying Cruz? Oh, they're happy for him. Oh, no, they're not.
It was really weird to listen to. And sometimes when I'm at a Blackhawks game and they're yelling Q, mm-hmm. I think they're yelling boo as well. And there were reports coming over the Twitter sphere that after Cruz had made those remarks, you know, go up and down the candidates and let your conscience be your guide. As Bill pointed out, he quoted Jiminy Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
People were saying that Donald Trump was obviously mad and had left the arena. But, of course, he didn't because he came back then and was there giving the air kiss to Mike Pence.
Yeah. In fact, Justin asked me last night what would be the weirdest moment, the biggest headline from today. And I said either the Cruz booze or the air kiss.
Right.
Because that was completely awkward as well.
At some point, they had to escort Heidi Cruz out of the arena, right? People came over to make sure that her safety was in order, right?
That was really weird, too, because all of the candidates, I mean, you guys know all the presidential candidates, even Cruz, Rubio, everybody up until they're not a candidate anymore. And I think the senators will still get protection, Secret Service protection, or at least law enforcement type protection. And then there was a tweet that came out that said somebody had shouted something mean to Heidi Cruz. So they had extra police kind of walk her out of the stadium, too, as a precaution. I think everything they're doing here is as a precaution. I mean, everywhere you go, you can't get within, you know, even when I came here to the Rock Hall of Fame today, You have to get out and then walk around what they're calling this perimeter. It literally is like you're kind of entrenched in this this kind of cove, if you will.
Yeah.
So I think they're being extra cautious with all the security. I wouldn't read too much into the security taking Heidi Cruz out. That might have just been as a precaution. But Ted Cruz, not popular at all today amongst his own party. And I actually kind of witnessed something weird this morning. We're staying in the same hotel now as the Illinois delegation. And they have a breakfast every morning. And, you know, there's different speakers, whether it's a delegate or a state rep or somebody give a little pep talk. And there was a man today who was up at the podium. I'm not quite sure who it was. I think it was just a delegate, not an elected official, who said, oh, it's kind of fun to boo Ted Cruz. And there was a man from Harvard, Illinois, and he was a Cruz delegate, and he threw his silverware down into the plate and just made a big scene and stormed out of the room.
Wow.
And he said, this is not a way to unify the party by ripping on Ted Cruz.
Right. Is this true or not true? I read this in a couple different places this morning, that there's a bunch of receptions that they have for the top politicians, and that after Cruz's speech, he was barred from being a part of any of these. Is that true? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. I wouldn't doubt that. That could be true. There's so many different things going on. Like each state, each delegation has its own happy hour or its own meet and greet or its own breakfast. You know, everyone's setting up different things. So it wouldn't surprise me if Cruz was supposed to be at an event and they didn't want him in, because he was quite polarizing last night. And then this morning, it was even more amplified because it was loud and clear what he was doing. He said Donald Trump's name one time and didn't say it again during the speech, refused to endorse him. And then this morning came out and told CNN, why would I endorse someone who was completely rude to my wife and my family?
Yeah, we played that audio earlier this morning, and it's very telling. He's very animated about the fact that this guy took some swipes at his wife and at his dad, and he was very not appreciative of that. But he also kind of left the door open at some point, saying that he has not endorsed him yet, as if to say at some point in the next 4 months he may change his mind.
I don't foresee that. I don't foresee a Ted Cruz endorsement of Donald Trump. Who knows, though? I mean, it's been so wacky here. I mean, it's like the Cirque du Soleil comes to Cleveland. I mean, it's just been one crazy thing after another. You know, you don't think someone's going to get booed. You have I was calling Donald Trump the people I was saying are reluctantly unifying behind him, because that's kind of the impression that I get. Different people I've talked to, when I ask, hey, you know, you're going to get behind him, Donald Trump's your man, they're kind of you know, you kind of shrug your shoulders and say, oh, yeah, OK, I guess.
So they just don't want Hillary, in a sense, is what I'm envisioning.
Right. And then the delegate who stormed out, the one I was telling you guys about from Harvard this morning, we asked him, OK, so you're going to vote for Hillary? Hillary? Oh, no, absolutely not. Well, you're not going to vote? No.
Oh,
do you know, I'm hearing more and more people saying they're not going to vote because they can't get behind either candidate, which is really going to mess things up.
I agree. I completely agree, Wendy. I mean, the whole point is to vote. And you know what else I find just really strange, too, is that all this, and I know it's part of the campaign and I know it's politics, but all this negativity. I mean, one speech after another is just bashing Hillary. And I'm sure next week it's going to be the same thing, bashing Trump, instead of saying, hey, you know what? Here's what we need to do. Here's a platform. And that's going to come, of course, we hope, before November. But there's just so much negativity, even leading up to the convention. And then you get everybody rallying together and singing Kumbaya, basically. Although not completely, not the full version of Kumbaya here.
Well, Chris Christie had a mock trial for her. Ben Carson alluded to the fact that she's similar to the devil. There's been...
And did Lock Her Up get chanted again last night?
Yeah, Lock Her Up, Go to Jail.
USA. It's all three beat. The chants are all three beat chants. You can't go deeper than three beats.
It's totally a pep rally, and they're getting behind their team, and they're just trying to take the other person down or other team down with words. But show us what you got.
You know what always bothered me? Remember, I mean, and you guys have kids too, but when we were little and we would play baseball or softball or any team sport, and they'd go, hey, better, swing, hey, better. You know, it's like taunting and chanting. I always hated that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's like now, only we're all adults, or we're supposed to be adults.
Well, you're an adult.
Thank you, Wendy.
Andrea, Wendy and I this morning were saying, while neither of us is particularly a fan of Ted Cruz's, we both respect the fact that he didn't play according to the rules. He obviously doesn't like Donald Trump, and he didn't pretend to like him last night. And I give a guy high marks for that. Is there any of that sentiment there at all, or does everybody just feel like he kind of sold him out?
No, I think people, I think it's the latter, Bill. I think everybody right now, they're trying to show this unification and, you know, this unified front and rah-rah behind the party, and Ted Cruz completely stepped away from that. You know, he broke bad. And I don't know if that was quite expected to the extent that he did it. You know, he really made a concerted effort not to endorse him and not to say his name. And I think that spoke louder than, you know, if he had not said it in the first place. You know what I mean?
But now Paul Ryan didn't really put his support behind Donald Trump either. Maybe not as strongly as Ted Cruz, but he didn't give his full endorsement of him.
No, he didn't. You didn't see that with him either. You did see it, of course, with Scott Walker. You know, that was kind of a rah-rah speech. As I said, it's just such a crazy facade because it's all this negativity leading up to it, and now it's all of a sudden, oh, this is our guy. We're behind him. So it's a very bizarre sense. You know, somebody asked if they allow liquor or alcohol on the floor, and I don't think they do, but, you know, there was some in certain delegates, we won't say which state, Texas, who might have had
a gun and a flask.
I think that's what they need to do, just pass around shots or pass around some cocktails on the floor, and that would just really lighten things up a little bit.
Now, I saw one of their delegates, Yosemite Sam, and he seemed fine, Wendy. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, what time does the Donald speak tonight? Because that's what everybody's waiting for, and Ivanka will be bringing him on.
Yes. There's not last night, the night before, they had a plethora of speakers. Tonight they just have a couple, I think maybe four or five, and then Jerry Falwell, and then Ivanka introduces him. And honestly, guys, that's kind of the hype right now. Everyone's looking forward to Ivanka because she's kind of emerged as the favorite Trump kid. So I'm kind of interested. She's a businesswoman. She's a very eloquent speaker.
How do you
she's
pick your mom, favorite so. Trump kid, though? It's mine it's is hard. Tito, but I don't know if everybody else has a favorite.
And just because you love his kid doesn't mean he's the right candidate.
Right.
I know.
Although that was a stand-up moment yesterday. It got a standing ovation when Pence was talking about how you can judge a person by their kids and aren't those Trump kids fantastic? And they got a standing ovation. And are they fantastic? And do they need to be fantastic?
And was he a big part of it, or was Ivana the one who
That's a good question.
Helped.
I have. There was a photo circulating. They definitely went best dressed, because I'm telling you, Ivanka, Donald Jr., and Eric, and even Tiffany, they dress fantastic. I mean, they look like $1 million. Well,
they are $1 million.
They're worth $1 million.
They got $1 million in their wallets and purses right now. Andrea, stay where you are. We have more questions for you. Andrea Darlis is in Cleveland at the site of the Republican National Convention. If you want to jump in.
And what a sight it is.
What a sight. Boy, is it a sight. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And if you want to text us there, you can. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks.
Here's a text. We're talking to Andrea Darlis, by the way. You know Andrea Darlis, a favorite, a fan favorite here at WGN. She is in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention. They want to know this, Andrea. Maybe you can help. At 312, they want to know this. At what time will Baron Von Trump speak? And did somebody vet his speech? We hope he's not lifting material from Jenna Bush. All good points. Every one of those good points.
Oh, that's very funny. Very, very good. I think Barron might make an appearance tonight. You know, they kind of give us a preview of what to expect.
Sure.
After Trump speaks tonight, the whole family is supposed to be on stage. So for those wanting to see Barron, the least mentioned Trump, I'm sure he will make his debut tonight.
I can't wait. He's going to read from a child's book called Humpty Trumpty, which is coming out just in time for the election.
He fell off the wall. It's perfect.
Ironically. Yes.
So much better than Goodnight Moon. I mean, because we all know how that ends.
No, it doesn't end well.
All right. We were talking about people who are not voting, and more and more people I come across are saying they're not voting, and Mary Ellen wants to jump into the conversation. Mary Ellen, Andrea is in Cleveland right now. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Andrea. So I have two thoughts about non-voting, not voting. My circle of friends, people who never vote are voting this year, and people who have always voted will not. But I raised my children. I don't know if they vote or not, but this is what I always said. you have to vote because every American has passion about the Supreme Court. So whether you hope the Supreme Court goes in a liberal direction or a conservative direction, you have to vote. Those, and we've seen that just lately, those nominations are lifetime, and vote at least for the direction you want the Supreme Court to move
That's
in.
That's a great point.
That is totally great. How do we make people do that?
Point. You know, I don't know, and I have to tell you, I am a card-carrying Republican, and I can't imagine voting for Donald Trump, and I can't imagine voting for Hillary, so I think I'm going to...
So what do you do?
I am going to have to cross my fingers and vote conservatively, and I think that that says it all, but I'm not emotionally prepared to say that out loud yet.
Oh, you poor thing.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you for your honesty, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary Ellen.
Recognizing it is the first step.
It is, isn't it?
Thanks so much, Mary Ellen.
So many people talk about putting down a protest vote, saying, I don't like that candidate, and I don't like that candidate, so I'm going to vote for Popeye or Mickey Mouse or SpongeBob and stuff like that. I understand what you're trying to do, but in the long run, you're wasting everybody's time, including your own.
Okay, but if you don't vote, you're wasting everybody's time and effort, too.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem, is if you're not happy with either candidate, and plenty of people aren't, there's almost no recourse. I know people will say, well, then vote Green Party or vote Libertarian. I hate to spoil this, but they don't stand a chance. They just don't.
I know. And Andrea, what do you think about that? I know that the Libertarian candidate... Gary Johnson?
Yeah.
Was on with Steve.
Yeah, Weldon Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, you think, boy, there's no chance. But there are so many disgruntled voters in this unpopularity contest that this could happen. And isn't it better than throwing away your vote?
I completely agree. I think you have to vote. I really do. I mean, we're all of the generation and the mindset, you know, we have to vote. I mean, you can't not. I just don't see a way around that. If you don't like your candidate, you know, there are other options, whether you want to choose the Libertarians or not. But I agree with you both. I don't think not voting is an answer.
Boy, it's
messed
up.
Because you know what? We're always going to have checks and balances. The tides are always going to change. You're always going to have the Democrats in charge and then the Republicans or vice versa. You know, it might be a longer reign for one party than the other party likes.
Yeah.
But it's been in place for hundreds of years. And strangely, I mean, it does work more often than not.
And Bill asked me this earlier, and Andrea, I'm going to direct this question to you. He said, now that this has happened, do you think this is the way of elections from this point forward? My answer was, I feel like maybe they will do a better vetting process or try to figure out how to keep someone out of the race before it gets too late. I don't see it going like this ever again. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I have never seen an election like this that's so, you know, normally it's closer. If you just look back at the ones that we've witnessed, Bush Gore, we thought that was the craziest one with the hanging chads. And then John Kerry. I mean, it's just, we've always seen crazy things, but this has been, I would honestly say this has been the most polarizing election that I've
in the history
seen.
Of voting.
What's that, Wendy?
In the history of voting, almost.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always the one party's always not going to like the other candidate. But for, I think where the difference comes in here and where the craziness comes in is that one party really hates its own candidate.
Yeah, that's really true, isn't it? That's very, very true.
Didn't think that this would happen.
Well, thank you so much for covering this. Have fun at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I got to go there someday and take lots of pictures and have fun tonight.
Sounds great, you guys. And I'll get you souvenirs from the Rock Hall.
Please tell Baron von Trump that we're big fans.
I will.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
It's Andrea Darlis from right here at WGN. A lot of people are on the phone and want to talk to us. So if you can stay on hold, please do. And we'll get to you right after the news. Again, we're at 312-981-7200 for your calls and texts. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, we like to handle what the people want to talk about, and people have been on hold because
for a long time.
The Republican National Convention continues tonight.
One more night. Tonight's the last.
Jerry Falwell will be speaking. We just learned
the
that.
The Reverend.
And Ivanka Trump bringing up her dad, Donald J. Trump, who
Correct.
Will be speaking. Everybody's waiting to hear him. And I've heard from more and more people as I just kind of go, hey, what do you, who are you voting for? Which I know is fighting words. I shouldn't even ask people, but I'm just curious.
Sure.
And more I'm hearing people who say they're not going to vote.
Disenchanted with both sides. And I get it. I totally get it. So what do you do if that's the case? You're not happy with Trump. You're not happy with Clinton. Where do you go? What do you do?
All right, Sue, what do you do?
I fight both, but I'm not voting for, I'm voting against.
That's what I think a lot of people are doing, but at least you're voting. So many people are saying, yeah, they both are terrible, I'm just not going to vote. But then you don't, you need a voice.
I feel strongly about the candidate that I'm not voting for.
Yeah. Have you, Sue, can I ask, and I know this is personal, but have you done this before when it's come to the presidential election? Have you voted for what's called the lesser of two evils? I bet you have, haven't you?
Not really.
No?
I voted for Obama, and I was happy with my vote.
Yeah.
I voted against Bush, and I was happy, you know, doing it. I'm not a Republican. If my boss heard me say that, he would fire me. Mm-hmm.
Is that legal?
No, that's not legal, by the way. But go ahead.
So, I'm just saying, this is the first time I really strongly feel that I would vote against a candidate.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, Sue, I so respect somebody who does what you've done in the past, which is vote. You mentioned Bush, who's a Republican, Obama, who's a Democrat. I've always said to myself, why would you vote for a man or a woman just because they represent a party? Vote for the person you think is best. You know, that makes sense.
You didn't say you voted for George W. You voted against him, correct?
I was not. I didn't vote for George W. because everything that was going on at that time.
Oh, okay.
That was a very, you know, very rough time. I'm 70 years old, so I've made a lot of votes in between, and it hasn't always been Democrat.
Yeah.
I voted for Reagan.
Yeah.
So, I've always voted for who I like. I'm not sure who I like. I know who I don't like.
Gotcha.
And that's what's determining your vote. Is the that phrase, the lesser of two evils, whenever I hear that phrase, the first thing I think of is a presidential election, because that's what so many people do. I'm not crazy about that guy, and I'm not crazy about that guy, but of the two, I guess.
I've never felt like that till now.
Is that right?
Yeah. I really haven't. Sue, thank you so much, and get out there and rock the vote. You're going to. Let's see what Wayne has to say. I've really not loved everybody I've voted for since I've been 18, but yeah. It's not been like this. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. You know, I was thinking that there has to be a way to cast a vote, but to show your displeasure through an abstention. So I think one way of doing it is to get the ballot and vote for everything on the ballot except for the president's.
That's interesting.
It's really interesting, but I hate to burst your bubble, but in the long run, what do they care? I mean, I like to think you're doing exactly what you're doing, which is showing them, we're not thrilled. I'm not thrilled with what you're giving me. I don't like the chances, so I'm just going to say point blank, I abstain. But in the long run, what does Washington do with that?
They don't cast a vote for either person.
Wouldn't it be interesting, though, if they had on the ballot a place where you could abstain?
None of the above.
But then you do register your vote, as Mary Ellen suggested earlier, because you want to deal with the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
With the Supreme Court. Yeah. Well, is that what you plan on? Is that what your plan is, though, for November? Are you just going to not vote for the president or vote for everything but the presidency?
Well, I would do maybe a write-in vote, but I can't get a crayon to stay on the screen.
That's the problem.
Thank you, Wayne. We appreciate it.
That's the problem.
Bob wants to jump in on this as well. Hi, Bob.
Hey, is there any reason why we can't write in Bernie Sanders?
No, you can. Is that what you do? Would you consider that?
Can you get a million people to do that with you? Because otherwise, don't you feel,
Yeah, you'd need a lot more.
Well, I'm still going to do it.
Why not?
Chuckle.
Yeah, why not?
Thank you for calling, Bob. Can I just throw a really crazy thing out there?
What part of this hasn't been crazy?
No,
has there been a minute of this that hasn't been crazy?
This is going to really be crazy, and I do not wish ill will on anyone. anyone except that woman who took a picture.
Danny Mathers?
Yeah, she took a picture of a woman in the shower at her health club. But what if something happens to Donald Trump where he is incapacitated to actually run come November? Yeah. I'm not saying he loses his life, but what if something happens where he just
cannot serve as president?
Yeah, I mean, maybe something happens where he's injured or
there's
something.
Always
he has a breakdown or something. Who?
The best breakdown ever. If he's going to have a breakdown, right, he'll have the best breakdown. He's got friends who have had breakdowns.
But I'm being 100% serious.
But that's happened in the past. People have said, you've had a couple of candidates that are up in years, and people always say, boy, I don't know, is this guy going to make it till November? Is this guy going to make it through the 4 years of his presidency if we elect him?
And it looks like Trump's blood pressure is way up there. I mean, I'm just saying, what if something happens to Donald Trump where he is unable to run against Hillary Clinton come November? What in God's name, who will they put in there? What will happen?
Well, then I wonder from this point forward, because Pence has already accepted the nomination as vice president.
Oh,
so should that happen?
Good point.
I would imagine just automatically Pence moves up. I would imagine.
Well, that's
although there'd be people who would obviously quibble with that.
But I'm just saying, you never know what to expect in this whole election. So.
Hillary Clinton is older than Trump, isn't she? She's got a couple of years on him,
right? I think so.
So you could certainly say the same about that side, too. What if she, for some reason, can't, you know?
What if they both just disappear? What if they're abducted by aliens?
There'd be a lot of people very pleasantly happy with that.
Michael, you like that idea?
Yes, I do.
What are you going to do?
You know, I believe I'm going to vote Libertarian.
Are you?
Yeah, Tribune had a pretty good couple of articles the last 2 days on what Mr. Johnson's his name is.
Yeah, Gary Johnson.
Yes.
And Tuesday Weld.
Yeah, Tuesday Weld is vice president from Peyton Place.
But, I mean, with the choices we have at this time around, I mean, it's pretty sad.
Yeah. Have you ever voted Libertarian in the past?
You know, I voted for Lyndon LaRouche years ago.
Did you? Yeah.
Well,
how'd that go for you, Michael?
Well, he didn't win, but,
I know,
it's not a wasted vote because you still have a vote. And whether he wins or lose, I mean, it's your vote.
Right, exactly.
So, but I think between the way the two parties are going and what directions they're going to, because they're not doing any good for the common people in this country, I mean, it gets worse and worse every 4 years. Not saying Obama's done a very bad job, but he could have done a little better for this country. But, if people want real change, you vote Libertarian.
It's a good point. Thank you for your thoughts on that, Michael. Good luck.
All right, you guys have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Michael. A quick correction, and I don't have the years on this, but I said I thought that Hillary Clinton had a couple years on Donald Trump. 269 says it's just the opposite. Trump actually is 1 year older than Hillary Clinton. I didn't know that.
And women live longer.
And women do live longer.
Which bothers you.
Because it bothers me that you'll live longer than me. That's the only one that bothers me. I should live way longer than you. So this system is so flawed. This is 224.
This system life.
Of life is so flawed. 224 says, voting for a third party, even if they can't win, demonstrates support for an alternative. Maybe they will have a better chance next time. We can't just vote for who we think will win. And that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe it does. Maybe it opens people's eyes saying, wow, that third party, whoever it may be, Libertarian Party, Green Party, might be an option next time. You know, maybe there's some progress there. I would never vote for the person. I would never vote for anyone just because I thought they were going to win. I would only vote for them because I wanted them to win.
Bingo.
Right.
Quick break and a couple more calls on this.
Sure. Give us a call. 312-981-7200. A call or a text. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy, and I put out the hypothetical, what if something happens to Donald Trump, or Hillary Clinton for that matter, what happens, who gets put there, and an interesting idea has come up from Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Can you say Trump wins the election?
Yes.
And he loses the trial for the fake Trump University that's supposed to start November 28th.
All right, well... I'm not sure that that's a criminal suit.
It's a civil suit, I believe, isn't it? I think.
But now, are people at the Democratic convention going to start saying, lock him up? What if they both get arrested and are in jail? Who will run this country?
Good question.
That's the best reality show of all. You just put the two of them in a jail cell for a while and see how it plays out.
Do you get the feeling this whole thing is being filmed for a reality show?
Sometimes it seems like it, doesn't it?
Mary, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
630 by way of text says this: I'm hoping that Johnson and Weld qualify for the debates. I am too. I would love. I think that's fair. If they have enough, we keep hearing 15%, but I can't determine what that 15% means. I don't know. I hear everywhere all they need is a couple more percentage points and be at 15%. But I don't know how that translates to percentages of what.
I know. I read that on the air, and still now at this point, a couple of days ago, Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson may get to debate Trump. Here's what's happening. If Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, polls at least 15% in 5 national public opinion polls before the debate, he'll be eligible to appear on the stage with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And as of a day or so ago, he was at 12%.
I'd love to see it. I hope it happens.
It would give people some options.
Right.
I bet they make it happen. Although if he's at 12%, he's still... When is the actual debate between the two of them?
I don't
know
that they've set a date yet.
All right. Well, he has time to get a couple other percent. And then if he gets... And again, it's kind of... not explaining it very well. 15% in 5 national public opinion polls.
All right.
So I don't know who's conducting the polls, but that's what's going on.
A texter, 847, says, why don't you name the names of the other candidates? Well, we've mentioned Gary Johnson. He's the candidate on the Libertarian side. Jill Stein is the candidate on the Green Party side. So those are your two major parties. And there's at least a dozen and probably more other parties of all sizes, shapes, and colors who have a stance or are hoping to get some attention. But realistically, I hate to say it, their chances are extremely slim.
I want to be on the party party.
The party party.
Yep. That'd be the way to go.
Would your headquarters be at Party City?
Yes.
In the shopping mall? Yeah.
Some Charles Peanut Tillman news. We heard Kevin Powell mention something earlier, and here's what happens. From my understanding, we heard that Charles Peanut Tillman, he was on the show, a great little Ask Charles segment that we had with him. A
couple weeks ago. Very nice man. We've had him on before. I love him.
He was injured, and you had said to me off the air, I bet he retires. Because why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So he announced his retirement with this goofy video that we will put up on our Facebook page. He's thrown his last peanut punch. It's his trademark ball strip move. Mm-hmm. He put together this humorous video to say that he was retiring, and it's goofily funny.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll put a link to that. And then the news today was, correct me if I'm getting this right, he's going to re-sign with the Bears.
There's a contract that they do, and it's interesting because it's legit, but it's not legit. It's done so that a player, and it's been done in the past in other sports, a player can retire with the team that means the most to them. He was not a Bear last year, but he's going to sign it's a one-day contract extensively, essentially. It's just their way of saying thank you to the team and to the city. He'll go out as a member of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it says he's expected to re-sign with the Chicago Bears today. A ceremonial move that will allow him to formally retire as a member of the organization that drafted him in 2003.
Right, right. He really has been a bright spot. You know, the Bears have had their troubles of late, but he's really been one of the most solid players that the Bears have had over the last several years, and I miss him. I think it was a mistake to get rid of him initially.
Yep.
But it's a class move on both sides to do this one-day contract so he can go out as a Bear. I like that.
And Kevin Powell will have more on that. I don't know when he's actually expected to re-sign with the Bears for that minute, but it will be nice to retire him, Chicago Bear. Let him retire then. And we're looking to talk to him on Monday on the show.
Oh, is he going to be on? Good.
After all the festivities. Pardon me, Kevin? Confirmed, 2:30.
Is that confirmed? All right.
Good work, Kevin. Give yourself a raise. Thanks. Buy yourself a soda.
Okay.
Charles Peanut Tillman will be with us on Monday.
And watch that video. The peanut punch cracks me up.
We did this segment. We did this kind of last minute last time, this Ask the Peanut segment where people could call up and we were kidding and said,
Ask Charles. Ask the Peanut's funnier, though.
Ask the Peanut.
If he doesn't show up, we could always just get a peanut.
Right. And they can answer questions. So we were kidding, and we said, you know, it can be about anything. It doesn't have to be. And for some weird reason, and I know you'll back me up on this, most of the calls and texts we had for Charles Peanut Tillman, football great, were about relationships. People wanted to know, I've been in a relationship for a while. I'm not sure if she wants to get married. Almost all the calls were relationship driven.
Well, there was one who wanted to know the secret ingredient to a chocolate chip cookie, and he came up with it.
Right. There were some recipe ideas.
In fact, you should listen to that, listeners. If you missed it, you can check us out. We have podcasts of every show, the full show, and then various guests are done separately, and you go to WGNradio.com. Shall we take a quick break, and then we can throw things over to Ro and Anna, who are live. Is this the last day of the RNC?
Today is the last day of the RNC, so they'll tell us... they'll tell you, anyway, about what's coming up, what you can expect later on tonight.
The Donald.
Yes. The big speeches tonight.
Huge.
Does he say anything bad about Ted Cruz during the speech? I say he doesn't.
I say he does.
You think he will?
I still owe you $10.
From Wah 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 from
Scott
Baio.
Chachi didn't say Wah Wah Wah. I'll do double or nothing, so $20.
All right.
Says he is going to say something about
Cruz. He addresses Ted Cruz by name in the speech?
Does it have to be by name, or can we know it's about him? If it's obvious it's about him?
All right, I'll give you that. If it's, okay. If
does,
it's obviously
loser
about
count
him.
If he says loser or something along those lines?
No, because that could mean anybody.
But if he says the loser that threw me under the bus last night, that's
Cruz. Then we
Cruz.
Know it's Ted Cruz. All right, if it's obvious, he's
double
referring to Ted Cruz. Okay,
$20.
You got it.
All right.
All right. Stick around. We have more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.